Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Oh, sports destination.
Hello, friends. You're now listening to the Lifestyle, Leisure, and Sports Show you never knew was two of those things.
I think we can all acknowledge that if this fails, you two will be fired and I will remain. So, no pressure.
Bo Bishop, a regional media icon.
Winner of Emmys.
Purveyor of the good life.
Sir, you don't know that for a fact.
I just said it on the radio.
Also, two guys this company named Employee of the Month.
What are you talking about?
Paul Hogan is Hulk Hogan's brother.
Uh-huh.
Look
sure
it up.
Because it's Hulk Hogan. That's his real name.
One guy is from Australia. The other one is from Tampa.
You mean he's from Hollywood, brother?
Not brothers. Chops.
Yes, they are.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Uncle Dom with an early drop by. He's playing Muirfield Village. He will join us at 9:33 on that. Bill Bender at 11:33. Real Truth. 10 o'clock, Memorial Media Day is today, so that's where we find our Uncle Dom. I've played in that a great many times. The very first time I played in it, remember back in the old days where, now it's Bridge Park, but it was Digger and Finch? You remember that, Reese? You're a local boy. You have to remember Digger and Finch.
That's a little before my time.
I don't think it was. I mean, it was right out there on Riverside, and it was the driving range.
Oh, I
that was
remember
out there.
It, where, but
oh, you just weren't out. You
I wasn't
never went out
there
to participate.
Do that, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, I do remember when I would go out there, and when I first moved here, and I used to play on Fridays with Dom and the great Paul Spahn, nicknamed Moose, who's a longtime sports director at Channel 10, and then Earl and John. We'd play every Friday Golf Club of Dublin, and we would play a fivesome. And we'd be the first one off the tee. And we only had one rule, which was don't catch up with the mowers. That was the one rule. Although with Coop's pace of play, it was always in play that we would. Because everything 6 foot and in to Coop was, that's a gimme. So those all went. So everybody shot their best score ever anytime you played with Coop. But I remember going out to Digger and Fitch and getting ready to like play the Muirfield Media Day the first time. And I suck. I'm terrible at golf. I've told you guys many, many times. I'm certain that NBC will legitimately beat me. He damn near did the first time he went out a couple of weeks ago. There's no question he's going to beat me by the end of this summer, maybe next month. It's coming quickly.
And this is a kid who only plays just when you guys go out and play. He's not out there training
the
golf all the time.
No. He's not on the team or anything. He's just swung a club since he was two or three. And so that's it. He's just going to be a lot better than me. And soon very well will be. But at that time I was playing a lot, and so I wasn't a complete embarrassment. In the mid-90s is kind of the way that would go. I'd plug my way around. And I remember going out and I'm like, all right, we're gonna play. I got the invite with Moose and Dom. We're gonna go play Muirfield Village. And so we went out there, and I was at Digger and Finch the day before, and I must have hit you could get two different bucket of balls to hit, like one of like 30 and one of like 60. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to get right. So I must hit 120 balls like Vijay Singh on the driving range, just over and over and over again. And I woke up the next day and my hands were just blistered. And so the very first time I played Muirfield Village, I did it with two gloves, because my hands were just so absolutely battered and blistered. I remember the other thing I did the very first time is I had bought new golf shoes. And so I had blisters. So it was miserable. Every time that I've done it probably a half dozen times. I've told the story before, the time when Dom and I and Moose played with Jack Nicklaus Jr. and then the Golden Bear watch for a couple of holes. And on 10, I was always told it was Jack Hanna's house. I hit the roof of a house that is so far right. It doesn't even seem possible that someone could hit it there.
You'd have to be aiming for it.
You'd have to aim for it to do it. The only reason I did it is because Jack Nicklaus was watching me swing, and I thought, well, I'm just going to swing as hard as I can and pray to God that he doesn't see where it lands. And the Golden Bear said, well, I've never seen one land there. And so he saw it anyway. So it's not built for people like me. It's not. If you're great, it's probably amazing. But the other tricky part about Muirfield is this time of year – it is the rough is just impossible. You can hit a shot, and the fairways are big, so most people good don't have to worry about this. But if you miss a shot 10 feet off of a fairway and you see it land, you can lose it in the rough because it's 6 inches and you can't advance it. You can't do anything with it. So for people who suck, it's just absolutely brutal. Even if you're good, it's absolutely brutal.
As you were talking about the driving range there, it reminded me, I don't think this is in an episode. I think I saw it, somebody just recounting it online, but it has to do with Curb Your Enthusiasm and Larry David and a driving range. And he's like, the real thing just happened in front of me. And I don't know if it was a video or a tweet or whatever, but some guy on the internet was just saying he was at a driving range and Larry David was in line at the counter in front of him. And he bought his bucket and there were the same thing, like two different sizes of buckets. And he did it. He did real Larry David in real life, according to this guy. That he's like, let me ask you something. What? Why are the two different sizes of buckets? Why don't I just pay you and you can pick up all the balls? Why don't I just hit them as much as I want? That's how the guy recounted the story. And I was like, yeah, that sounds exactly like something Larry David.
That's a very LD line there. Yeah, that lines up absolutely. I remember when I would go to that place thinking, boy, this is a real waste of great real estate. Like it's right. It was kind of like Cleveland on the lakefront. It's like, boy, maybe you should repurpose this a little bit. Like you're right on the river. You're right across the street from Old Dublin, and it was a driving range. And you just went, like, there has to be a better use. And then Crawford Horing said, oh, watch and see what we do here. And sure enough, it has been a much better use. I have this for you. So as I have a certain amount of minimum pride as a man to be bullheaded and think I can fix things that sometimes I can't. And it comes from just being an idiot and growing up where I did, where we just really couldn't have anybody fix anything. And so what would happen inevitably is my dad wouldn't fix anything other than the stuff that he could, and the rest of it would just go to hell eventually. But we around here, like the blonde's on it. Like if something's going wrong, she'll get it sorted. We've got a handyman guy who comes around and does some things that need to be done. But I was feeling pretty good. So Sunday I put together a bin, a rather large bin that will go outside, and house the boys' sports equipment. And I put that together in short order, about 40 minutes. Let's not crown me. It was about 8 screws and a lot of just popping plastic to place. But we did it. It's upright. It looks great. So yesterday, NBC goes, Dad, I broke my toilet. So that can mean a million things. It can mean it's plugged. That can mean that some parts are actually broken. It can mean anything. Well, as I've said before, I put... have you guys seen these, the Tushy bidet things that you
can get? I remember when you talked about getting these.
That's a game changer. It's a game changer. So when I always use baby wipes, but then when I went to the well, now the sewer's my responsibility and those things are brutal on septic. Absolutely brutal. Even if
don't
they
flush
say,
them. No.
Don't, but then, right. So, but if you're on septic and they don't flush them, now I got to go in the garbage. That freak, I'm not doing that. So I did some research. I'm like, I think the Europeans got this right. This bidet thing's the real answer. Like, let's just wash this sucker up and then we're good to go. So I tried it and I'm like, game changer. I'm always going to have, they're cheap. They're like $100. They're nothing. Easy to install. It changes your life. Could not recommend it more. So last Christmas, I got them all for the boys. So now they all have them in there. Now it's not just from the fact that I want them to have clean behinds. It's also from the fact that this is easier on my septic. Because I don't have to have the paper, as much paper. It doesn't take as much.
Because you can't trust what they say they are and aren't flushing. That's not
you can. Don't flush them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the kids,
But you can't trust the kids not to.
I can't trust them. I can't, none of it. So, like, this is my foolproof plan. So, the one hiccup in this is it will break a toilet seat because of the pressure. Because so you go through toilet seats a little faster.
Okay.
Because it adds a layer to the toilet seat fastening.
Well, now,
you can buy one that's all in one that's like $400, and maybe that's what I do next time around. But I did this for them.
Okay,
this
so it kind of gets it off kilter it a little bit and pulls up one of the.
It's level, but it adds space, and so the plastic is leveraged even more. If that makes sense.
So what part breaks?
The back end where it hooks up to the back of the toilet. Those hookups break off because they can't handle the pressure, the extra pressure that's there. Because it's not flush with the toilet, if that makes sense. So I go up there and look at it, and I'm like kind of annoyed. And I said, dude, you're coming with me. What am I going to do it? I'm like, well, I don't want to sift through your urine. So why don't you come? Because my hunch is you've missed a lot. That's my guess. as I get up here that there's going to be a lot of urine all over this toilet. Just been through this before. I know how this is going to go. So he's like, this is gross. I said, well, it's you, dude. Like, you're doing it. So as is typically the case in these endeavors that I take on, I want them to be there to see my struggle, but not really for their help. Because their help is not help in any way, shape, or form.
It'd be easier if they weren't there.
For sure. But I want them to also appreciate how brutal the work is I'm doing.
Right.
I want them to say, God, Dad, good job to you. This is, you're doing a great job here. So, you know, everything's covered in urine because he's 12, right? So all of the screws are covered in urine and I've got like rubber gloves on because I'm not doing this. So I'm doing this. I'm screwing it off, taking it on. And he starts like jumping around and touching the ceiling in the bathroom. So this starts to annoy me that he's not being a little bit more helpful and he's bouncing around. I'm like, dude, just stop. Will you just stop? And then I'm getting frustrated because I can't get the nut to thread. And so that's frustrating for me on the with the screw. And then as I'm wrapping up, my guy, my face is a foot from his. He just farts. Like right in my face.
Hey, he's in the bathroom. It's green light for that kind of action.
I go, what are you doing? Like I'm knee deep in urine. And now this is, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I'm like, no, you could. There's a whole house to go to do that. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying just not next to me. Don't do it next to me. So then my wife goes, why are you yelling at him? Well, this is why. So then she thinks it's the funniest thing ever that this is it. So then like what should be, so then you're as a parent, like I'm rageful because now I'm doing this job I really don't want to do. I'm covered and it's kind of his fault and kind of my fault. And then he's added to it with this. So you can't punish. Like, what are you going to do? Like, it's.
You know, I think you go for revenge. Sometime you get off the couch while he's sitting there and just rip.
This is going to be, I think that's probably a good play, Chopper, that revenge will be a dish served.
See how you like it.
Let's see. So when I did withhold ice cream from him last night and he goes, why? And I just said, cause I said so.
You should have said, because it gives you farts.
That's right. It's all that damn lactose you're eating that's causing all of these problems. Yeah. So that anyway, that was a Monday night. We've got we saw greatness last night. I want to get to that because it felt like a very big moment that happened last night in the association. As I mentioned, Dom will join at 9:33 out at Mirfield Village. Joe Burrow's back on the field. Lots to get to, fun along the way. No flatulence, I promise. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Producers, co-hosts, friends, some of those things are true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hey, it's Bo Bishop here. I'm proud to tell you about my friends at Diamond Cellar. Springtime is the giving season. Everything from weddings to anniversaries, new babies, graduations, Bootsy's first communion this Saturday. Everything in between. I'm here to tell you firsthand there's no better place to find the perfect gift for any occasion than Diamond Cellar. As a true jeweler, they have the finest selection of luxury jewelry from world-class designers, or they can create something one-of-a-kind just for you. If you have an idea, take it to them. They will make it a reality. I've done it. You can too. Diamond Cellar. Check them out. Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center, DiamondCellar.com for more on that. I remember very vividly when I realized what was happening in Golden State with Curry and with Clay and with that operation. And when it was, there was whispers about them. And then all of a sudden there was this realization that they were just something else entirely and that they were going to be an absolute buzzsaw. And they were, and it kind of came out of the blue a little bit. There wasn't a whole lot of conversation around them. At that point, you were coming out of LeBron with Miami and, Dirk won the championship. And obviously you had the Celtics that were still in the mix kind of at that time. And there were whispers that Golden State was coming, but it wasn't really until you saw it that you went, oh, well, that's different. And I do have a feeling that that's what is happening right now with Minnesota, that the Minnesota Timberwolves are that. I know that's a lot for a team that up until this year hadn't even won a round. But the way that they have taken it to the Nuggets is a stunning thing. What Anthony Edwards is, the way that they go about their business, this was a suffocation. I mean, I didn't even have to watch past the second quarter. It's cooked. It was done. It was 47-30 in the second quarter. They just pulled away from there. What was the score at half in this thing? Was it 58-35 at half?
Yeah.
I mean, this was a swamping in every way possible, and it's not fluky.
61-35.
61-35. It was not fluky. It wasn't like, oh, they're getting lucky. It is an overwhelming of the Denver Nuggets.
And Denver's already frustrated by the whole thing. Like, they are constantly being just hounded on defense, and then Jamal Murray's throwing heat pads onto the court.
Tell people that, Chops, for people who didn't see this, like, explain what happened.
And this was relatively early on. I think it was the second quarter.
It was 47-30 when he did it.
Yeah, it was second quarter, and he's sitting on the bench, and he's not having a good night. He doesn't end up having a good night overall either. And out of frustration during one point, he throws it, and it gets down near the legs of the guys who were playing. Mm-hmm. But the refs don't see it until after the play, and then they don't call it. It's not it could have been reviewable because, you know, whatever rule of like detrimental to the playing service, whatever. But nobody challenged it. Nobody went and looked at it. And the ref after the game was saying that, oh, I didn't see it until after. So it was unclear where it came from, if it came from a player. And the T-Wolves were saying post game that they explained to the ref, like, well, how many fans bring a heating pad to the game? Like, it had to have come from the bench. But either way, yeah, Jamal Murray so upset that he's throwing things into, not just like tossing it like in frustration, he was throwing it onto the court where the play was happening.
Yeah. No, there is a I do think this is the hello world moment for them, that we have arrived. Who would have had this type of domination over Denver? I remember at the start of the playoffs thinking, well, you know, Denver and Boston or the field, and I think most people would have said, yeah, give me Denver and Boston. That feels like that seems to be a lock. And then they've come and they're brash and they're chesty and they're good. You saw at halftime Charles Barkley saying that's the best defensive team I've ever seen. Like, Chuck's not one for hyperbole.
And Rudy Gobert wasn't even there.
No, he was not. He was not there. He was not there at all. Reese, did you take this one in?
I did till the second quarter. Then I felt, all right, it's all right. We're good here. I'm really interested to see how and if the Nuggets, if they can respond, because you're right, if Rudy Gobert's not in, and he's what, defensive player of the year a couple of times removed, and they didn't have him on the court last night. Mm-mm. But that's a very solid defensive team. I mean, you can look at the stat box and see that the Nuggets didn't make a lot of shots, but that's just because they couldn't. They weren't just great open looks for Murray and company all night. And this was for what we had said going into the playoffs was Carl, you know, is Anthony Edwards is the guy, we think.
Yeah,
he's got to do it in the playoffs. And so far, so good for him. So this is a Minnesota team that if they can knock off the defending champions, then you can have your American-born NBA sensation.
Yeah.
Usually you don't have the guy who likes to rile people up. Usually he's not your best player. But that's kind of what you have in Anthony Edwards, because the play where he crosses up, what's his name, Jackson for the Nuggets, he crosses him up and he goes to the floor and he points at him.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the play, like that's how gutsy this guy is, but he backs it up with his play. And it's so funny because I go back to the draft in 2020 and there were questions about Anthony Edwards and did he really want to compete? Does he really love basketball? Because he had this quote that came out that was something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, but it was just like, I like playing basketball. It's okay, but it's not the most important thing in my life. And
didn't he say he liked football more or something like that? Isn't there something?
Yeah, I'll have to look up to see what the full quote was. But it was something that made you go, oh, man, maybe this guy doesn't love basketball, which is what they love to talk in draft. But who cares? He's great.
Well, Chops, remember, he also played in he played at Georgia.
Right.
So it wasn't like he was somebody who you thought was going to be about something. So to give you an idea of this is what this reminded me of. So the Warriors in 13-14, they're the sixth seed in the West. They lose in the first round of the Clippers in seven. They won 51 games. The next year, 14-15, they have the best record in the West. They win the NBA championship. It came that they went from not winning a round to winning it. in a year. And that's kind of what this feels like to me, a little bit with Minnesota. There's one other. Go ahead.
I found it. This was before the 2020 draft. I'm still not really into it. I love basketball. Yeah, basketball is my heart, but football is where I started, so I'll never forget about that. But don't get me wrong, basketball is my number one because I feel like it's going to get me through a lot of stuff I need to get through.
You ain't wrong, brother. Yeah, you're going to be just fine. There's one other part of this, guys, with this Minnesota situation. Remember, this was the franchise that was going to be bought by Alex Rodriguez. And his partners
still might be. I don't know.
They're going to court. They're going to go to court.
Right. How much of that is Glenn Taylor? They've owned the Wolves, I'm pretty sure, since they came into existence. That the target, I'm almost certain that the target money has owned the Wolves their entire, at least for a very long time, through the KG, the Taylor family owned them through all of that. So I'm pretty sure they've owned them the whole way since they've been in the league. I could be wrong in that, but I know that they've owned them for a very, very long time. And how much of that second thought is, oh, mama, we're on to something here, and this is about ready to be worth a lot more than we thought, because we have a team that can not only win a championship, but now can be in a championship window for a while. We've got the best American-born player on the planet who's a kid. How old's Edwards? 22?
He's 23, I think.
Yeah.
You're going to hand over, like, I could
think about that part of it.
Like, you're handing over a dynasty to Alex Rodriguez. It's like, nope, right out of my cold, dead hands.
Actually, we're not.
They honestly could be in as good, if not better, because of the age of Anthony Edwards, than what Giannis and the Bucks just went through over the last like 3 or 4 years. That could be the window that they're entering, but it could be even longer because Giannis is starting to deal with injuries, and anything could happen, but generally guys of Anthony Edwards' ilk can stay healthier longer into their career. That's just, you know, big men just deteriorate faster.
He'll be 23 in August.
There you go.
All right, so let me pull this up on the Minnesota Timberwolves. It looks like Glenn Taylor has been, so he, it's shared. It's Glenn Taylor as owner. I think he's owned them the entire time that they've been there. Sports team ownership.
When did they start?
He purchased majority ownership of the Wolves in 1994 for $94 million.
Okay, they started in 89. So there was
one
owner
5 years in. Mm-hmm. So there was one owner previously. But he's owned him from 94 for 20 years. He's been the primary owner. And now they're having this. Yeah, I got something good. Maybe I'm going to hang on to this now. And he's a Minnesota guy. Like, you're going to want to be the one hoisting up the Larry O'Brien.
I think just after 30 years, he was finally like, I'm going to cash in on this. NBA teams are selling for so much. And then he finally has a good team, which really they've only ever accomplished with Kevin Garnett for a period of time, but eventually had to give up on that era because it wasn't all coming together.
They had a great run. They had Garnett and Marbury together. And then they had Garnett with Latrell Sprewell and some other guys that got to a Western Conference final and lost to the Lakers. So they had that kind of run with Garnett, and then, but that's it. Not quite like this. This looks like it's here to stay. Dami's here to stay. He's at Mirfield. We'll go out to Jack's place coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you don't like listening to Morning Juice, Bobby Carpenter's man nipples will punch you in the face.
For real.
You want to fight, do you?
Weekdays from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Us.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
Sponsored by Sears Heating and Cooling. Family owned since 1950.
And on this special Tuesdays with Tabari, we head out to Jack's place. You're on the grounds?
I'm looking to get a handshake. I've been walking around looking to get a handshake.
Is the Golden Bear out there?
No. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad, because if he sees me, Bo, I haven't played here in 10 years.
Really?
And so, yeah, so I decided to come out of retirement, and I wanted to play. And so I'm out here. I think one of the last times I played here, you, me, and it was Jackie Jr., we played –
That's right.
And you were actually playing a little bit too slow. But anyway,
oh, was I? Is that how you remember it?
I remember you, what, we were looking for your ball. We were looking for your balls a lot. A lot. And Jack Jr. even said, hey, we got to play a little quicker. We got to quit looking for your ball all the time.
You ought to get hired as a court recorder. Everything you just say is just all truth.
Well, some of it's true.
Well, I do remember very specifically.
We played together. There was an incident.
There was an incident. Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Here's what I remember specifically. So definitely that is the last time I played out there in the media day. It was 10 years ago. So that was, you and I were aligned. That was, I remember that one vividly. Right. Actually, I may have played in 14 or 15, but I remember the Jack incident. I also remember there was a big concern about pace of play. And I remember you and me, Jackie Jr. and Moose finished about an hour and 20 minutes ahead of anybody else.
Yes, we did.
Am I wrong?
Well, it's like, you know, this is what it was. It's like when you go to the horse race and the jockey takes the whip. He had to take the whip to you and you sped it up.
I'm pretty sure it was to you, sir.
I don't know. We were looking for your ball.
I don't think that's right either. That's not how I remember it in any way.
Well, anyways, I remember. You know what? I'm old now, so it doesn't matter. But anyways, it's absolutely gorgeous here. And I saw Dan Sullivan. He sends his best to you,
the
tournament director. And Dan wanted me to remind everybody that, it's going to be an incredible field this year. They're one of the elevated tournaments. They got, a $4 million purse. Yep. And the other thing is they still have plenty of tickets that are still on sale if you want to come out. And, it's going to be, about 70 players this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty neat. It's going to have it's always had the feel of a major, hasn't it?
Yeah,
but it really,
for sure.
really this year, big time. So,
well, I think
it's a week before the U.S. Open.
What I love about, I always feel like it's the official start of summer in Ohio, Central Ohio. Right. Is the way it feels to me. You know, it's like, okay, we go to Jack's place and the next thing you know, it's summertime. And now we're backed up a week, which I think will actually help or perhaps keep us out of the rain even a little bit more. So no, it's spectacular. Who are you playing with today?
I am playing with Adam King, and Dan Sullivan, and I'm not sure who the fourth is.
Well, you would get approval, right? Like, you're not just going to, you know,
I'm not allowed to, you know, I'm playing the company policy, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. What do you got on a media gift this year? What are they giving you, a nice little gift? One year they gave you guys drivers.
Gave us golf balls and three balls and then a little wind shirt.
Okay.
Very nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I remember the one year when I first moved here and I did not play this year, but you guys got fitted for drivers, didn't you?
I never got it. I missed it. I missed that deal. Yeah, but they did. They were given, and somehow or another, I missed that. But you know what? It's all right. I mean,
that's a win.
Bo, listen.
Yeah.
I talked to Jack, you know, when he was in town for the Legends luncheon, and I asked him, you know, some advice on my swing, and he just said, let me see how you look. And he said, and he watched me for like two minutes, and he just said, he goes, Dom, honest to goodness, I would take a pickleball.
Pickleball's great. It's fantastic.
I'm glad he's not here because I swear, my first round of the year is at this place, and we have to walk. Caddies, and we have to walk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
let me ask you this. You keep an eye out for Rothman out there because
he's here. We just.
Oh, I know he's here.
I just sat with him, and he's the defending champ. And
of course he is.
He walked in, and it was like, I'll tell you, it was like that guy from Happy Gilmore, you know, Shooter McGavin. He walked in. Rothman walks in, and he looks good. He looks the part, and he just goes, Rothman's the name. Where's the first tee, and what's the course handicap? So I'm like, excuse me. I'm the defending champ.
Well, now who's he playing with? Because you know how that goes. There was always a lot of controversy.
I know he's playing with Jeffrey Logan.
That's him and Logan?
Yeah, him and Logan. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, just give him the trophy now. What's the point?
It's the Paul Moose Bond trophy.
Oh, my gosh. Please tell me Moose is out there somewhere. He's out roaming the hills.
He's not. No, he's not. He's not.
Oh, that's that saddens me a great deal.
Yeah.
So what do you got on the lunch out there? You gonna get a little lunch? You get breakfast? What are you gonna do? A little milkshake at the end?
They had the scrambled eggs. They had a bacon and salt. I didn't eat anything. I ate four Advil. That was my breakfast. Dude, I got to walk 18 holes.
You know what people don't realize?
When the caddy shows up, I'm going to tip him before and apologize.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
Here's what people don't realize about that place until you get out there. If you go to the tournament, then you notice it right away. But what you don't realize until you do is how hilly it is. Because on television, it doesn't capture that. It doesn't capture the topography. But when you go out there and walk it, and I encourage all of you out there listening, like to go and just, it's just, even if you don't love golf, it's just a fun social experience. But you don't realize how up and down it is until you get out there and start walking it.
Oh, it certainly is. And, you know, thank goodness. Now I'm down to 203. I'm down to my sophomore year of high school. So thank you. And I appreciate that, even though your vision needs corrected. But I'm thinking that might help me. And I've been lifting weights. I'm in this program now with Ohio State. Bride and I, we go lift. And it's called Exercises Medicine. So I've been. And my whole goal is to outdrive my 30-year-old son who hits the ball 400 yards. I've never seen. I mean, he's just, and it's embarrassing, Bo. It's embarrassing.
Well, if my 12-year-old's going to beat me by the time we play next time we go out, I beat him by 2 shots last time. So, if you want to talk about embarrassment, I got you all day long there, brother.
Well, they bend. Their bodies bend where ours will not.
I can't bend.
We used to be like that. That's why I'm loaded up on the Advil. Hopefully that helps.
I'll get you out of here on this. I was telling the story about the first time I played Muirfield on the media day and going to Digger and Finch and like swinging so many and hitting so many balls that my hands were just bleeding with blisters. And then I told about how we used to play with Coop and Earl and you and me and Moose, and we'd have that first tee time at Golf Club of Dublin. At what distance would you say is an accurate distance that it was a gimme according to Coop?
How long is your putter?
I said that's 6 feet.
Everything was good.
Everything 6 feet was good.
I used to shoot in the low 70s with Coop, remember?
You'd play in an hour and 45 minutes and everything inside of 8 feet was a gimme.
And everything was a gimme. And I mean, I was a putting machine.
Yeah. Boy, everything's a one putt.
Hell, that's good. Go ahead, Bo, pick it up. That's good.
That's good, man. There's a lot of pace of play worries with Coop. All right, buddy. Have fun out there, my friend. I know that you will. Give my best to Dan and all the guys out there. They're the best, and it truly is a remarkable event. I can't wait. We'll be broadcasting out there once we get out there the week of the tournament. So can't wait for that as well.
I can't wait. I'll come. I love coming on with you. We'll be together.
All right, brother. Stay alive.
All right, pal. See you. Bye-bye.
All right, the great Dommy on Tuesdays with Tiberi out there. That would be a scene, man. Like, if you could just mic him up for that round, that would be an absolute scene. Joe Burrow back on the practice fields down in Cincinnati. And Goat Rose, who's got next? We got that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hey guys, it's Chops. I've got, let's call it an opportunity for you. 40 by the 4th. Wow, it has a ring to it. You could lose 40 pounds by the 4th with Awaken 180. Just like I did, and actually I went past that and lost 95 pounds, and you could keep going by that. But once you have a goal, it's really easy to attain it, and Awaken 180 gives you the tools to do it. You've seen Austin Ward do it. You've seen Scotty Vegas do it. I've done it. If your scale is reading 240 right now, it could read 200 by the 4th of July. So join me. Join Awaken 180. Let's lose the weight. We'll crack a beer, wear a Hawaiian shirt, have a burger at one of the 4th of July cookouts. It'll be a great time. Awaken 180 makes all of this possible. And you can schedule your online consultation at awaken180weightloss.com. Bishop and friends, we're also sponsored by Awaken 180. Fast, sustainable weight loss without medications. The solution for weight loss. Awaken 180 weight loss.
When we were in Hawaii, I bought my kids and wife talked me into buying a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, yeah?
They're like, oh, yeah, we got to get it. And I knew upon purchase that it was something I would never wear again. I mean, I knew it. I just knew it. They're like, no, you'll wear it. You'll like it. But, you know, you're in Hawaii, and so you're swept up in it. And so I allowed for it, and we bought it. And I don't see any scenario where I put it on again unless I go back to either the Caribbean. I guess in the Caribbean. I tell you what it's going to be. Now that I'm saying this, it'll be my spring break shirt. Whether it's Caribbean or Hawaii, I'm packing it for that. But other than that, I don't see me just like you pull it off, Chopper. You can pull off a Hawaiian shirt.
But
I just
right.
don't know if I have it in me.
They are definitely a novelty shirt that you kind of have. It's every once in a while in the summer, I will wear one into the office. But even that is a choice. Like I know what I'm doing when I put on a Hawaiian right. shirt on a random Wednesday. But you don't think you'll ever pop it on as your pool shirt going outside?
It's the buttons.
I like doing like one or two buttons when I've got the button up
really?
When I'm at the pool. Yeah, so you do
really
it in the
let
middle.
It out there.
You do it. So you leave the bottom ones go, you leave the top ones go, and you just button up the middle so it closes
just
up a little bit. But you got the breeze coming in. It
just
feels
a little
good.
Bit of cool breeze for you. That could be. My wife wanted to watch the Brady roast because apparently it crossed over into her lexicon in her social media feed. So she wanted to see like the Kim Kardashian part, and she wanted to see like some of the other comedians how they did. And it's 3 hours long, so like I didn't watch all of it. When in real time, I popped in and saw some of the clips on social media. One thing I would say about Netflix's system is it sucks that you can't fast forward and see what you're fast forwarding through. Once you hit fast forward on Netflix, like it's just you're in the dark.
Yeah.
So she's like, how do you know what's next? I'm like, well, each one of these joke tellers takes about 5 minutes. So I'll just fast forward 5 minutes at a time until you get to where you want to be.
Don't they at least show the little image down on
no,
the little bar?
No, they show really? The one you left off with, but they don't show
that
as
is
you're
tough.
Progressing.
Because most of the streamers will give you like a little preview window yeah. as you're fast forwarding. Because it's, you know, you're not fast forwarding a videotape. It's not actually physical anymore. So they can right. only, it has to load itself. So that's probably why it's probably a bandwidth thing with Netflix. But yeah, that seems weird.
So, we did watch a little bit of it. We watched Kardashian's part, and then Nikki Glaser seems to have won the thing with her opportunity because she was on Stern yesterday morning. So she flew red eye LA to New York to be on Stern yesterday morning in studio. So I don't know how quickly that turnaround was. Like how quickly was it known like, oh, she's going viral? And she's a big deal anyway, big comedian. And I think she got an HBO special coming, but like she was on Stern yesterday morning. So we watched that, watched Kardashian, watched the Belichick part. The Glazer was probably the most on point. I mean, I felt like she just crushed.
So the Brady roast was in LA?
Yeah, just the forum.
Okay, because I wondered if it was, I didn't look into it, but I wondered if it was in New York because the Met Gala was last night. And there were some crossover people at both of the events. Yeah.
So they flew. Yeah. Well, look, they're not going through security at Delta.
That's
Kim
true.
Kardashian isn't. I mean,
easy when probably, you got wheels up taking you there.
Yeah. Oh, not even that. I'm sure she has her own, and I'm sure she's got probably a runway in her backyard, would be my guess. But she zipped over there. But it did get me thinking, like, you take a lot. Like, it was a lot. Like, it was so many jokes about his ex-wife, so many jokes about his family, leaving Bridget Moynihan the first time. Like it was a lot of high and tight fastball. And we were talking last night and I'm like, well, who would be like this whole thing was based on goat roasts, right? That was the whole thing. It was like roasting the greatest of all time. And we settled on that the one that would be both the funniest and probably the most, he would get the most out of it is Tiger Woods.
Wow.
I mean, the material is endless.
Yeah.
If he could, and I just think like, has enough time passed since all of that? I mean, you're 15 years since all that stuff happened that he could laugh at himself a little bit with it. Or would he is such a curated public presence and he's had all of these missteps in the last 15 years. Like, is he capable of sense of humor? It seems like he is. He's shown you a little bit more. He's the natural one. LeBron, it's too close. I mean, he's still an elite basketball player anyway, so it's too close for him.
I think, like, NBA players take things too personally, too. For I don't know how they would handle a roast like that.
It's Tiger, though, right? Like, isn't he the one?
Well, when you put that in the prep today, I was thinking from like a sports standpoint, that is not a name that I thought of, but I think, yeah, you're spot on. That would be a great one because of all of the stuff that you could go through. But I also like the idea of Tiger and Tom Brady works in this, that they're close to their greatness, but they're not on the top of their sport anymore. Right. But they have so much in the bank of being so good. Like, I don't want it to be viewed as like punching somebody who has fallen from great stardom or something. And that's not where Tiger Woods is, and that's definitely not where Tom Brady is. So that's where I was like thinking of other names to it, of like outside of sports. I feel like Tom Hanks would be a really fun one. He's been around for a long time. He seems like he's up for it. And then I think a really interesting one is somebody who's great and is still great, but is past being at the top. What do you think about Mick Jagger?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the question is, I guess they're on tour again.
He's active and alive. He's still strutting around doing his little hand things.
He's got to be almost 80, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, in the 60s.
They were in the 60s.
I don't know if Tiger could take some of the jabs, or at least the gravity of some of the jabs that Tom Brady took. I also don't know. I think to have a good roast, you have to have some of your peers there. And I don't know, like, is Mickelson going up there to crack jokes at Tiger? Like, who would be, like, would Rory take the stage and throw things at him, or would they just stick to Comedy Central roasters?
There's not a ton of current players who are kind of his peers.
I know Comedy Central's like the old phrasing, but with Brady's roast, it was in LA at the Forum as part of like a whole weekend by Netflix to kind of hard launch their comedy, I guess, the comedy brand. Like, they're the HBO, and I think this past weekend in LA was them coming out and saying, like, we're the place for comedy now.
Yeah, they've been it for a minute too. Like, they had the John Mulaney guy. He was doing like basically what amounts to like a late night show that's live every night.
That I think you should leave, that sketch comedy show that's really popular on the internet. He did a live show like a few dates across the country culminating in LA. So they're really starting to say, okay, we've got these guys' associations with these comedians. Let's really bring them in house now.
The thing that's tough with Tiger is, like, my hunch is the guys that he pals around with are like 15 years younger than him.
That's right.
I think it's all like Justin Thomas and those type of guys
when he pals around with. Brought up other golfers, I was like, well, the current players aren't really Tiger Woods' peers, so I don't know like who would be that and who would offer that. Mick Jagger will be 81 in July, by the way.
Yeah, Michael Jordan could take it. Brooks up there?
No.
Like, Koepka could be throwing jabs at him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's Tiger's the guy. It's just the question of, and I do wonder if the timing of it, my hunch is he would be their next ask because, I mean, it's ripe. There's so much with him.
Everybody's got a price.
Yeah, I don't know if you do it for that though, right?
But if you're Tiger, you don't do it for anything less than this.
I think you do it for
money's not the thing, but
you probably do it. I mean, you're launching a clothing brand. You're probably, by the way, remember, I didn't win the lottery on that.
Yeah.
Sunday Red, I signed up for that live on the air. I did not win the lottery, but I did. Now they're emailing me like wanting, because I guess the collection's live. Like, they email me every day wanting me to chop in and buy some of the stuff. I'm like, give me 20% off, and then maybe we'll talk.
What are the prices like?
Oh, like a hoodie's $220.
Yeah, that's what it's gonna run. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's, come on. What are we doing? That's, everybody makes golf hoodies at this point. All right, coming up next, we hit you with the real truth. Do we know who Ohio State's second biggest rival in the new Big Ten will be? We'll find out coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The best hair on the air.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Time for the real truth. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Cellar. Over 76 years of experience and guaranteed lowest prices on Sawmill Road or DiamondCellar.com.
First one up for this Tuesday, Oregon will be Ohio State's second biggest rivalry in the new look Big Ten. Is that the real truth?
I think it is. I was thinking about this morning and lamenting, as I oftentimes do, what the Big Ten did to the schedule and how disappointing it is, because I think what you wanted was, you want Ohio State playing USC. That's the one that you want, and that feels like the one that historically will matter the most going forward. Remember, Penn State doesn't want to play you, and so soon enough they won't. So while Penn State has always been kind of the second biggest, let's also remember that Penn State so rarely takes anything that matters from us. Most of the time you just batter them.
Even the time they won, Ohio State made the playoff instead.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't. In order to be a true rival, you have to take something from somebody that matters. Well, Oregon has taken something from us. They came and won here a couple of years ago. The game out there next season is going to be one of the three or four best, biggest games of the season. They are positioned to be real contenders for a long time out there with Dan Lanning. If you were to say a couple of years ago, which program do you think will be better when they join the Big Ten, USC or Oregon, you would have bet the house on Lincoln Riley at USC, like that passing offense, that all of it. But he hasn't done it in recruiting. He didn't win a damn thing with Caleb Williams other than a Heisman. So Oregon, conversely, they've done it a lot of different ways. They're locked in. They got a coach who knows how to win at the highest level and will play physical defense. My hunch is we're going to see them not only in that game in, what is that, early October when that game is?
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you going to see them there, to me it feels very likely you're going to get a rematch with them in the Big Ten championship game. So, yeah, I think that they are set up to be the second biggest rival, because my hunch is you're going to see a lot of them in Big Ten championship games in the next few years.
Yeah, and that puts you in a position where they're always going to, at the very least, on years where they're not on each other's schedule, because Ohio State's only every year opponent is going to be Michigan going forward. Penn State has zero of those opponents. So I think you're probably right, because I can't really produce the opposite example, but I do think the fact that they're not on the schedule every year could hinder it a little bit, but it's only playing for second place. We know who the number one rival is here at Ohio State, and all the other stuff you listed of where they're at as far as competitiveness, their coach Dan Lanning coming up after being at Bama and Georgia, and you know, a Kirby Smart disciple, like he's kind of running an SEC program up there, which is what Ohio State, you know, needs to have a team at that level consistently with that kind of talent to be somebody who can rival them. So I think Oregon is probably the best bet for that. USC would probably be the second. And the classic Big Ten, especially because Penn State isn't interested, I don't think any of them are ever going to be in that rival stance where you're saying like they truly take something from Ohio State, especially with the playoff expanding.
Mm-mm. Yeah, barring a playoff or a Big Ten title tilt, you won't see USC until 2026. Buckeyes are at Autzen Stadium the second week of October. It'll be the seventh week of the college football season, and that is the real truth. Oregon's going to be your second biggest rival and probably your biggest challenger for a Big Ten regular season crown in this new Big Ten.
Reese, what do you think do you think Oregon will be favored in that game?
Yes.
With Dylan Gabriel? That's kind of my hunch, too, because I don't know if you're going to see enough from Ohio State in the first month. You play nobody.
Yeah, but if they look lights out and come in preseason number one, I have a hard time seeing them being an underdog, even on the road.
It'll be tight. It'll be tight. It'll be 2.5, 3. It won't be any more than that, especially if Gabriel looks good at Oregon. If he looks the part, that's the game, man. If you get, I know Beam, he was trying to go out there the COVID year. Like, that's the game. You go out, you fly out to Portland. If you want to do a guys trip, you play Band and Dunes, you do that type of thing, and then you go to that game. That's going to be an unbelievable game out there.
Gabriel,
plus it's a small stadium.
Would Gabriel currently be the favorite for like Big Ten quarterback of the year? Everybody else, it's so many newcomers. Like, and then just teams teams not going to make it.
Right, try to name any of the starters. I mean, we did this a couple weeks ago where it's like, wait, Curtis Rourke? Former Ohio quarterbacks at Indiana and likely their QB1 for this year. So, to answer your question,
I think he would be for sure. And the reality is, like, if Drew Aller didn't play at Penn State, I would think his talent, but he plays at Penn State. So, like,
we all know how that goes.
We've read that story before.
So, real quick, Oregon's going to have two Big Ten opponents, and Oregon State, Boise State, and Idaho before their game against the Buckeyes.
Whoa.
So, if they run through those, if they run through those with the same kind of ease that Ohio State does its first four, then I do think you'll see the Ducks with an advantage, despite probably being lower in the top 25.
Hold on now. So you're telling me you've got, they go Boise State, Oregon State. Who are the two Big Ten teams?
So they start Idaho, Boise State, Oregon State. They're on a bye. UCLA, Michigan State, Ohio State.
Good for them. That's coming out swinging.
Yeah, and like you said, with the out-of-conference added in, that is going to outpace Ohio State's schedule up until that point.
Akron, Directional, Michigan, Iowa, and am I forgetting Marshall?
Yeah, I know Marshall's in there, yeah.
Marshall, mate. Well, we do have Iowa. The Iowa will be pretty legit.
Defensively, I mean, come on.
Yeah. New coordinator, Chops. It's a brand new day.
Oh, yes. Oh, we didn't talk about this. Ryan Ferentz is at Maryland now as an offensive analyst.
Perfect.
Once you're in the club, there's always a buddy who will hire you to do something. Yeah. The Browns' bet on Deshaun Watson got even bigger this offseason. Is that the real truth?
Yes, it did. And it also did out of necessity. Here's the reality. Nick Chubb is very likely not ever going to be Nick Chubb again. He had a catastrophic knee injury that required two major surgeries on his knee. It's the second time he's had this situation in his knee. They did. So what choice do they have but to go all in even more with Watson? And so, yes, they did. They brought in Ken Dorsey to bring in a spread offense. They are going to play a lot of 11 personnel. They are going to play a predominantly shotgun attack. They are going to go away from what Stefanski has been most of his career, which is an under center, back to the defense, flip your head and spin it, because it's not what Watson wants to be. So, yeah, it is an even bigger bet on Watson. I know that's crazy considering what he's compensated and the amount of compensation they gave Houston to acquire him. But, yeah, it's the real truth. They are, as he goes, they go.
I think so far it's fair to say that the Browns have gotten almost nothing, if not detrimental things out of this trade. And now you don't have I guess you can look at it both ways. One side is, well, at least this year, if it doesn't work out, we actually have our pick. So if we're somewhere in the draft, you get to do that. But you also, you don't have the excuse of being able to sit back on those things being the huge factors in the Deshaun Watson trade, as far as like holding you back in any sort of way. Like, here it is. Okay. Now you're kind of even from the trade. Yes. You missed out on three straight first round picks, but that was the trade. That's what Deshaun Watson is supposed to be. And he has to perform this year. If it goes like the last 2 years again this year, then it starts to enter, what do we do next territory? Mm-hmm. Not, oh, we got to make sure that Deshaun is right. If it's another bad year, that's not going to be the most important thing for the Browns anymore.
I don't know if this is the real truth, but I'm going to say it's not the real truth. When they handed him a guaranteed check for guaranteed contract for $230 million, it was Super Bowl or bust. So you can't really get any higher pressure-wise than that. So that's not fair. The real truth. This season, last season, no. It was once he was given that guaranteed contract, Super Bowl or bust. Is the grade for this trade. If they make an AFC championship game, that was great, but it wasn't exactly what you acquired Watson for. It was great.
Only pushback I'll give to you is just that, like, I wouldn't grade the Burrow experience or the Allen experience as failures for the failure to win a Super Bowl because of Mahomes. So now, he's he's damn sure not on that level and has not been. But if he were to play to a point of division, like Lamar's been, like Joe's been, like Allen's been, like you're playing in an AFC championship game, you are part of the reason. This is why I think it, and I certainly take your point in terms of the biggest bet was all the first round picks and all the money. But there's really no way out of this now. And I'm not talking about out of Watson. I'm talking about offensively, they don't have Nick Chubb. In the old days, not the way he used to be. In the old days, you could say, look, if he's struggling, we can always just run Nick Chubb 25 times. Well, that's done.
Next one, win or go home one game playoff matchups are better than series. Is that the real truth?
100%.
That's why we love game sevens, right?
That's why we love game sevens, because the sense of urgency. I mean, the Cavs play the Celtics tonight. They're like 12-point dogs. And I look at this and I say to myself, well, that would be that feels maybe nice. Like, could they keep this relatively close? But at the same time, in my head, I'm going, well, one thing I know about them is if they're out of it, they push in the chips and lose by 32. So,
and,
yeah.
And they're not the only team in the NBA that does that. So that's the problem is, yes, game sevens then accumulate a lot of storylines and matchups that you want to see. And it's a winner then, and you're finally at winner go home. But there is just something special about the sudden deathness of playoffs. But I do understand why the, you know, baseball, hockey, basketball, why they want to do the series, because it normalizes it a little bit, the varying sports to a degree of always getting the best team to win. No, that doesn't always happen, but you still have your shot no matter what, and it's not just based on one good night. But there's a reason why we can get, like, imagine if Kentucky Oakland in the NCAA tournament was even a three-game series. That game one would be like, wow, Oakland won, but then you'd think Kentucky would take care of it, and then it doesn't have the same type of intrigue. But man, you get into the series as they go on. I think the big problem with the seven game series is just the length of the postseason, really.
Yeah,
it is the real truth. The seven game series in the first and second rounds, it's too long then too. And I get, again, they do it because it you do want to get an overall sense of who the better team is, not just on a one off that can be a little fluky, but you also get the TV revenue that comes with having so many games. But it just, for the casual fan, and even for some other, you know, for more diehards, it's just such a slog to go seven games in the first round.
I'd argue some of the best postseason games we've seen this year were the play-in games.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Yeah,
there's no doubt. It was better off at five, guys. Like, the NBA used to be five games in the first round. That was better.
Last one, Victor Wembanyama will get rare stat combinations attached to his performances next season as much as Shohei Ohtani. Is that the real truth?
Yeah.
I was reading through his Rookie of the Year article today, and it was just consistently like, nobody's done this since 1994. Yeah. Nobody's done this since X time. Nobody's done this since Shaq. And I'm like, oh, so he's going to be that guy that just, because of the way he can block and shoot and score, stat combinations are going to come so naturally for him.
Well, he's going to be one of those guys who regularly gets quadruple doubles.
He had two. At least one 5x5 game this year.
Yeah, so he's going to be that. That is such a unicorn, like the quadruple double. But he's going to get those. There will be those games out of him. Yeah, he was better than advertised on a really bad team. But he was better than advertised. They really didn't put him in a position to succeed in terms of making it easy on him with that roster. But he was better than advertised. People are going to want to play with him. It's amazing that San Antonio got their, I mean, it's kind of like the Packers a little bit, the way they had Rodgers and Favre and all of that. But the idea that they get to have Duncan and now Wembanyama both, pretty wild. But yeah, I think it's the real truth. I think he's an alien. He's unlike anything we've ever seen. Same as Shohei.
Robinson to Duncan to Wembanyama.
Yeah, three of them.
And yeah, I think that is going to be the real truth. Like I said, reading that article, it's just like, oh, he has all these stats. Because I wasn't paying that close attention day in and day out to him. But once you see it all written down, you're like, yeah, it really was a special rookie season. Not just the best rookie, one of the best rookies ever.
Yes. You went on that too, Reese?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be in five seasons. He's going to be like the first player in his first five seasons to do this, that, and the other thing since Jesus was resurrected. I mean, that's just kind of
Jesus
the thing.
Jesus could hoop, dude.
Yeah, you know, he could ball. Yeah. So this is what you're going to look forward to for the next however many years for Wembanyama.
You get those Jesus ones. Those are unbelievable. Those Nike Jesus ones.
I say,
ones.
Kids call them fire.
I didn't think I could play in sandals, but they work.
Sandals, these things, really incredible hops. The Cavs and Celtics tonight, the C's are overwhelming favorites. Is there a roadmap for Cleveland to make this interesting? We'll get into it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
And certainly the playoff action is here. Isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than my great friends at Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, playoff hoops, the hockey. It's every night. If you want to make the most of every game, you've got to bet with Tipico. You get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Enjoy the highest cash back in the industry, the most rewarding sportsbook. Claim the new sign-up bonus now. Get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 code to get your bonus today. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older. Physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for more on this. I'm asking because I've said many times I wasn't as locked into the NBA. Reese, I know you watched a lot of it this year. Is this Celtics team, are they overwhelmingly the best in the East?
I think so.
Okay.
It's hard to say without Porzingis. With Porzingis, yes.
Okay. All right. So those are that's your backdrop for this one. Cleveland-Boston goes all the way back to LeBron and Cleveland the first time, so there's plenty of vitriol between the two franchises. It is one to look forward to. I kind of set yesterday, we were talking with this with Danny Cunningham about make this an interesting 6-7 games. And I think what I would sign up for, honestly, if it's gentlemen sweep 5 interesting or 6 games all blowouts, give me the 5 interesting. I mean, take 5 interesting over 7 all blowouts, quite honestly. Like, you just want compelling content night in and night out. And for that to happen, it's going to be a lot of Donovan Mitchell. He's going to have to be great. It'll be Garland having to be great. And if those things happen, I do think they will capture the attention of Central Ohio, something they did so often when LeBron was up there. Here is Mitchell on the series against Boston.
We are a team that, you know, can hang and play with the best and be one of the best. I firmly believe that. We know who we are, a team that is a contender. This playoff series is great, but we did what we were supposed to do in the grand scheme of it all. You know, we just took 7 games. For us coming into Boston, be who we are. That's the biggest thing.
Now, Mitchell is tight with Brown and Tatum. Is that the backstory there, that they kind of all run in similar circles? He did address his friendship with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
I mean, I stopped talking to him when there was a possibility that we were going to play him. You know what I mean? Once we saw the how the thing was going to figure out. But, you know, it's all competition, you know, and I expect nothing but the best from them and vice versa. And, you know, we got to go out there and take care of business in a hostile environment. But it's always great to play against friends, compete against friends. And I know it's going to be tough. It's going to be fun. And I'm excited.
So they've played twice this season and split the 2 games. Mitchell averaged 30 on 50% shooting, 7 boards, 3.5 assists. Garland, who I think is as key to as anything in this. I feel like Mitchell's a known. You know he's going to do 37-3, but can Garland provide this? And if he does, they get a chance. 20-7 with the 7 dimes on that as well. Being efficient, that will be key to this thing. That's it, right? You what you're in for here is this is where they were supposed to be, if from the Cavaliers' perspective, and you just want entertainment, and hopefully that you get it. That starts tonight at 7.
Yeah, and also, I mean, because last year we were talking about it, and it was disappointing there in that first round, but it did feel like, hey, if you can just deliver a first-round victory, that'll feel like, yes, the Donovan Mitchell trade, success, we got this in here, and in the first year showed marked improvement. Then you come into this year, and it's a little shaky on the ground with what's going on with Donovan Mitchell, and is he going to be back next year? Are they going to trade him so that they make sure they get something out of him? And it doesn't feel as much like winning just the one series kind of heals everything. It definitely helps it, and it's something you expected from this team this year. But now you've got the Celtics here, and this is that next challenge. Can you take that step up to this? And it's harder this year also to, if they go and they lose, especially in a gentleman's sweep, or if they get blown out in most of the games, it's going to be harder, especially because what we're looking at possibly trading Donovan Mitchell, like what that means for next year. You almost feel like you're playing for the Donovan, and you talked about this yesterday a little bit, you almost feel like you're playing for the Donovan Mitchell legacy all throughout this postseason as far as his Cavalier tenure would go. If they win this one and make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, then I think you start to get into more interesting conversations of, okay, how do they actually keep this core together? Because it would mean something to beat the Celtics, and that's what's in front of them right now.
Last time these two teams played, it was a 1-point Cavaliers win, and you had 20 fourth quarter points from Dean Wade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take something like that from somebody on the Cavaliers, either starters or reserves that you're not expecting. It doesn't look like you're going to get Jared Allen. Brian Windhorst was on with ESPN Cleveland, and he says he still has a hard time raising his hands above his shoulders.
Mm.
So you can't really protect the rim.
You'll need that for basketball.
You can't get your arms up. He's been dealing with a rib contusion since game five. Didn't play in six or seven for the Cavs against the Magic. But the Celtics don't have Porzingis, but they've still got, you know, Jason Tatum. And so if he's on tonight, you're going to need another Herculean effort from Donovan Mitchell. And I just don't know how the body's going to hold up.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, with Garland and Mitchell out there, this for the Cavs to have a chance cannot be what you saw a lot in the Orlando series and what you really saw last year in the Knicks series of stand around and hope that one of those two create something.
Well, they get around. They'll all stand and watch Mitchell. They'll just stand, watch, and he just goes. I mean, that's the...
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and how long is that knee going to hold up?
Because so he's injured all over.
Right. You see with like what's going on with the Knicks, like Jalen Brunson has gone for four straight 40-point games. And it's like, okay, so it's, you know, guys can lift their team on their back. But Donovan Mitchell's already dealing with two in a streak like that where he scored, what, 50 and 49?
50 and 39, yeah.
50 and 39, yeah.
He does. One other thing I wanted to go back to was the, you know, he talked about like, you know, the friendship with Brown and Tatum, how he hasn't been in contact with them since they realized it. I think one of the things that people, fans, are gravitating to with Anthony Edwards is it doesn't appear that he gives a damn about being friends
Zero
with anybody.
Fs.
Yeah. So there's a bravado to him. There is a chestiness. Like, he goes at Durant. Durant will say the nicest thing about him in a post game. They ran this in the end of the Knicks game last night, they ran this video of like all these people hyping him up. And so they edited it. So it was juxtaposed Durant talking about how great he is to like Anthony Edwards, like running his mouth at Durant, basically saying, sit down. So like there is something to that, that I think fans, this has been the AAUification of the NBA. LeBron brought this on. He was the catalyst for this, with over the last 15 years of playing on a bunch of teams with a bunch of different coaches and his buddies and all of this. And we're all good buddies and we vacation and all of that. Draymond is kind of the outlier in that. Russell Westbrook, when he was kind of on his own, was the outlier of that. But this is much more what Anthony Edwards is doing, much more of a callback to probably the way Kobe approached things. Like, yeah. Kobe didn't want to be anybody's buddy at all. Like, he wanted to eviscerate you. And I think LeBron wants to eviscerate, too. I'm not suggesting that you can't be somebody's buddy and also want to eviscerate him. LeBron did. It's not meant as a criticism to him. It's just, I think there's something about the way Edwards goes about his business that people like.
And he's firing at the right people. Like, going after Durant and saying you're not friends is a lot better than last week. You know, we were talking about Patrick Beverley telling a ESPN producer to subscribe to his podcast. Now, this is the kind of demeanor that is fun and brings stuff to all of these games. And they knew this about Anthony Edwards early on. Remember that Adam Sandler movie on Netflix a few years ago where he trained up he's a guy who's actually in the NBA, but he was acting, but he like trained him up. Yeah. The other player in the draft that year was Anthony, like actually played by Anthony Edwards in the movie.
In that movie?
Yeah, and they basically just asked him to be himself whenever they had basketball scenes.
Was he good?
I mean, he was good at doing Anthony Edwards. Yeah. I don't know how good his acting
is. He was a good jerk. I mean, the movie itself I didn't think was all that great, but he was pretty good. I remember him, that was an interesting character, I'll say, in a movie full of characters that weren't all that interesting.
Was he better playing himself than Ray Allen was playing Jesus Shuttlesworth?
Probably, but Ray Allen was asked to do a lot more.
Yeah. And
opposite of Denzel Washington.
There's such a comfort in what Anthony Edwards was asked to do. And yeah, I think so, though.
I think Allen largely crushed it, considering the ask.
Yes.
The ask was enormous to be able to do what he was asked to do in He Got Game. All right, NHL draft lottery is tonight. I don't want it. Keep your luck. Not tonight, kids. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The Fan is live and local with Morning Juice. Caffeinate and dominate.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
That's not that. That's we already all right. did that.
We did, Dommy. Oh, we did him at 9:33. You can check it out on the socials. We put it out there. He was out at Muirfield. We told stories of great frivolity out there, which was, it's fun. It's always magical when you get to have that. Also get it if you're, wherever you get your podcast, subscribe, download. We love that when you do. All right. So we have the NHL draft lottery, tonight. I don't want to win it. I don't want it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. I believe in the hockey gods who have been incredibly cruel to us through the years. And my hunch is with a draft like this one where there isn't a consensus, although I think they're trying to make this kid into one. I don't know. This Macklin Celebrini is a center out of BU, projected number one. A recent mock draft calls him franchise altering. Okay, to what level? What you know,
like it's not Bedard. He can't fool us into that.
No, he can't do that. And so, it's just, you make a big deal about it. And I suppose you want to move up, but if you do have hockey puck luck, hockey god puck luck, I don't think you want it to be in this draft. And here's the thing that sucks about all of this. Pretty good chance you're going to be right here next year. I mean, what is going to change with that operation this summer? That's going to make them substantially better than they were this year when they were the worst team in the East. I mean, I don't see anything.
Only thing you can hope on is just Fantilli playing more of the season, but that's not exactly making them a competitor. It just might put them out of this like top four range that they've been in the lottery for the last few years. But I do hear you on that like winning it applies so much more pressure to the number one overall pick too, and then so many more expectations. And I'm not sure that there's a guy on here that just changes the franchise despite what the ESPN article may say. And so it's a lot easier to slow play and play off. Oh, we're still working him through the AHL and he's up there with the monsters of a 3, 4, 5 pick rather than a number one, which everybody's gonna be clamoring for because Blue Jackets haven't done a lot of winning recently. So if you add a number one pick to the mix, it's actually probably gonna be more of a distraction than it is going to be a benefit to your team when you are definitely in a year where it's not like go ahead, draft that guy number one right away. As soon as you win the lottery, bring your slip up. That's not the situation they're in like they were last year.
Well, so this year's odds, you got Sharks, Blackhawks, Ducks, Jackets, Canadiens. Last year's odds, Ducks, Blue Jackets, Blackhawks, Sharks, Canadiens.
Same guys.
Same thing, just wow. Different order around.
It doesn't, even when you're great, and Bedard was hurt this year. I mean, he was substantially better statistically than the guys. It was Carlson and then Fantilli, all of which kind of had their issues with injury. Carlson was on the strict minutes count out in Anaheim. The reality is there will be a new general manager, and he will want to take this down to the screws. Which is what they should have done I'm not going to second guess him on Gaudreau. Like that falls in your lap, you take it. But that's what they were in the process of doing at that time. And you just can't cheat that process in this sport. It's not like hoops where one guy comes in and changes everything. That's not the way that it works. It's more like football. Like you have to create a bunch of different things. Then hopefully you land the quarterback. It's much more closely aligned with that than it is hoops. When you think about training or baseball, honestly, where you have to build an entire roster of depth. And we keep hearing that they have this great farm system. Well, they need to be able to grow at a natural pace and turn into legitimate NHL players. But there is nothing in my view. I mean, you think about the next 2 or 3 years. We're going to be in this spot for the next 2 or 3 years, guys. Like, buckle in.
This is
where you're going to be now. You're going to be picking here next year, and then hopefully the year after that, going into Fantilli's third year, some of these other guys get to come up and they realize their potential. Then maybe, but you're going to be in this spot for the next several years. Go ahead, Reese.
I was just going to say, you say it like you're going to be, and I wonder if. You can tweak the phrasing a little, saying you should be in this spot for the next couple of years because Pascal Vincent's going into the last year. He only had a 2-year deal, but yeah. You're not sure, again, who the general manager is even going to be or if John Davidson's going to be a part of this organization. And then what does that reflect on the coaching staff? Who's going to be developing these players? There's such a list of things that will be different even this time next month. That could be different, that could shape how this organization looks to be. But I'm in agreement with you that it does need to be completely stripped down. And so that would and should, I think, put the Jackets in a similar situation for at least the next 2 years. And then maybe you can see where you are coming out into 2026.
Yeah, but I think your baseball analogy is the spot on one because we've talked a lot about Mike Trout, and then he was paired up with Shohei Ohtani for a number of years, and the Angels never won anything. Whereas at least at in football, the quarterback position can elevate an entire team, but that's not available in baseball. You can't just get an ace pitcher or the guy who's going to lead the league in home runs and all of a sudden be a good team. And same thing with hockey. You just drafted the best goalie prospect in however long. Okay, you're going to probably stop a few more goals, but it doesn't mean that your team is all of a sudden going to win a bunch more games. Same thing with a forward, and then you get down to defensemen too. Like that's not going to net you a better team, and that's the problem. There are no quick fixes, and the Blue Jackets, like you said, yes, you take Gaudreau, but they would have saved a lot of time had they torn it down to the screws a couple of years ago rather than trying to, they always threw out that term, reload rather than rebuild. It should have been a rebuild.
Yeah, it should have. And you think about this from a, just use the, look at, let's use where Edmonton is now, right? So what did it take to get them to where they are now? Well, part of it was they picked number one overall like four times in 5 years. They picked number one overall in 10, 11, 12, 15. So it netted them Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Nail Yakupov. I remember that well because the Jackets picked second in that and picked Ryan Murray. I was over in Pittsburgh for that draft. And then McDavid in 15. Like, you have to have a bunch of these over and over and over to be able to hit on it. I mean, and now they're a contender. But they also, in the midst of all of that, they also got a generational guy. But here are their picks. This is how long it took, and this is not going to be particularly pleasant to hear because it's just the reality of the situation. Going back to 2010 when they picked number one overall, all right, so they go, let's get here, in 2000, so they went number one in 2010, as I mentioned. In 11, they were number one. In 12, they were number one. So three straight years, number one. They were seven in 2013. 2014, they were three. They got Dreisaitl. Can I interest you in that? So in back-to-back drafts, they got Dreisaitl and McDavid. So that's basically Malkin, Crosby, back-to-back. So you get Dreisaitl third overall. They get McDavid number one overall in 15. In 16, they're fourth overall. In 17, then they start winning. So then it's 22nd. But they picked no worse than fourth, well, seven. We had one seven. No worse than seven overall in seven consecutive drafts. Four times they picked number one overall, one third and one fourth. That's how you do it.
Yeah, but is it also that important that you get that McDavid, though? You have to get that generational player, because what if the year that it was McDavid was the year they ended up with four? And that's the luck of the draw. That's the hard part about building these teams.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely brutal when you try to do that. All right, we got time for a pop-up Chops movie review. Go ahead.
Challengers has a good cast led by Zendaya, another methodical and pulsing score from Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, tennis action that looks realistic enough for me, and it is not the sum of its parts. Following three tennis players from high school to college and beyond as romances have burned hot and or fizzled in this love triangle, their careers have taken different routes as well until they all meet again as one of the guys tries to get a tune-up by entering a lower-level tournament before the U.S. Open. This movie bounces around its timeline too much for me. Even my summary seems incomplete because I was trying not to spoil it, but also because the momentum is consistently halted by being in 2009 and then 2019 and then 2011 and then back to 2009 and then 2019, for example. The score was my favorite part of the movie and did a really good job turning up the excitement of the courts. Those competitions needed that because it didn't follow the blueprint of a sports movie, so most matches had little or no sporting implications or stakes. The clashes on the court were much more personal than winning a game, set, or match. For tennis fans, this is not a tennis movie. It's more of a psychological romance thriller, but it could be easily superimposed onto anything competitive, business, academia, actors, musicians, etc. Zendaya's performance, as always, was strong. The guys were fine. I thought Josh O'Connor outshined his co-star. There really aren't any other characters, so you better like the love triangle in this one. I will give it credit here. Although I found the time jumps needlessly distracting, the movie moved along at a brisk pace despite being 131 minutes long. I give Challengers a C-.
I saw the preview for this, and it did not check. The tennis part of it seemed like it would be a tough. It's just such an interesting sport to choose.
But another Trent Reznor score was very welcomed by me. He's great.
He's quite good. It's hard for me. If you go to young me, like Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor, to think that he's now like a musical composer for music, so I would have said you're nuts. Like, considering what he was with Nine Inch Nails back in the day. We hit a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
First one today, this report from CBS Sports per SI.com. The Vikings were upfront with Kirk Cousins about the possibility of selecting a quarterback high in the draft, even if he decided to remain in Minnesota. What's ironic is that Cousins' new team shocked the NFL world by taking quarterback Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall. Cousins, who turns 36 soon and is coming off a torn Achilles, reportedly was appreciative with how the Vikings were honest with him about their plan. Minnesota took the 5th quarterback of the draft at number 10 overall with Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. It's clear Cousins was looking for a situation where he would be the solidified starter for more than a season, but more pressure has been placed on him by his new franchise after the Falcons utilized a top 10 pick on a rookie quarterback who turns 24 this week. Cousins reportedly had no idea the Falcons were going to take a quarterback at number 8 overall, a decision which left him, quote, shocked and disappointed, according to NFL media. While Cousins did sign a 4-year contract, it gets easier for Atlanta to get out of the deal in 2 years when the Falcons... that's a question that we will be asking until it eventually happens. Thing or not a thing?
This is great reporting from Albert Breer. He's the originator of this stuff. That's a pretty big thing from the standpoint of, I think the key to this line is the line about how he was appreciative of Minnesota's honesty to him versus Atlanta's misleading him. And I think that's the part where it's trouble. This is going to be a tough spot. Now, I talked to D'Orlando Ledbetter, who works at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, covers the Falcons, and he says that Cousins and Penix are fine, that it's all been kind of mended over. There were others who, not only Locke and Fora, but also Ledbetter, who also had in their mocks that they could take Penix at 8. So people close to the situation knew that this was possible. Cousins obviously did not. The real problem here is going to be mini camps, which are now, and training camp, if Cousins isn't 100% right, because Penix can spin it, and that's going to make this a very awkward spot going forward.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. You imagine if like Penix creates a great relationship with Kyle Pitts, and then they're just able to tear it apart for the first couple of weeks until Cousins gets healthy enough to put on a football field. I wonder when Atlanta let Cousins know. Because they let him know at least before they made the call, right? Like, Cousins didn't find out about this when Roger Goodell read the name off the card. If they texted him, hey, we're going to take Penix at 8, ... You like that? Question marks.
It was like during the pick, though, was the reporting.
It was early.
It was technically before the pick, but not exactly before the draft.
It was late, I should say. Like, it wasn't right before, but it wasn't. They at least could fall back on. Well, he didn't find out via the television. This from Brett McMurphy of, I believe, the Action Network. The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop, is the new name of the Arizona Bowl, which used to be known as the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl. I'll try this again. The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop on ESPN. Thing or not a thing?
Is this a real bowl? Because it was formally sponsored by Barstool. Like, I don't understand what a real bowl is anymore. 2 years ago?
Barstool actually broadcast it when they do it. Like, they do the broadcast talent for it. Wonder if Snoop and Dre are going to do the... This is another one of those, like, if you were to tell 8th grade me that Snoop and Dre would have their names on a college bowl game affiliated with ESPN, I would have said you were nuts coming off of what they were when I was a kid. You guys know I've interviewed Snoop before. And when I brought him on, I referred to him as Mr. Dog.
What's his name?
I did get a legitimate laugh out of him, which was a very exciting thing. But, no, I mean, this is where we're at with bowls, man.
Like, so anybody who has the money and can get a stadium to rent their space can just have a bowl, essentially.
You don't even have to rent the space. They just want a presenting sponsor.
Yeah.
This is there's the Fiesta Bowl, and then there was a second bowl out there that happened like a week before. And so when we would go out there to cover the Fiesta Bowl, that group would leave just as we would paratroop in. This is that bowl. And so if you're willing to put your name on it and throw them a little money, so they must have like a gin and juice, probably like a High Noon cocktail type thing that they're spinning. So that's what this is about.
No, and it's interesting because the Conman and T-Bone did this a few years ago where they were looking into like sponsoring a bowl game because they got wind of it was like a suburban development company that was like basically creating a town in the Chicago area. Just all of a sudden sponsored a bowl game. And they're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? How is that even good advertising for them? Just hoping that people who are moving to Chicago can see it? Yeah, so then they tried to do it. They didn't. I think they ran into some blocks, but it's apparently something you can do. I just love the statement from Snoop Dogg. College football fans are exhausted by constant talk around NIL, conference realignment, coach movement, transfer portal, super conferences. So it's time that we get back to the roots of college football, when it was focused on the colleges, the players, the competition, the community, the fan experience, and the pageantry. So it's only fitting that I step up and get this thing right by giving the title sponsor is an alcoholic beverage, which is something that used to be nowhere near the college sports.
I want his reading of what you just read.
It would sound very different, I bet.
I would like for him to read that.
Second one from me. Jimmy Butler, he made headlines over the weekend by trolling the Celtics and Knicks at the F1 race down in Miami, saying they would be home if he hadn't been injured. Pat Riley was asked about Butler's trolling the Celtics and Knicks while sitting out with an injury. Here's what he had to say.
You know, for him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling? Or is that Jimmy serious? You know, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut and your criticism of those teams.
Thing or not a thing?
Well, Riley's a gangster. I mean, just does, you know, like he's the one guy who could do this. There aren't many, but he's one. And I don't think it certainly severs the relationship between Butler and the Heat or means that he's going to be moved. He could be moved. I don't think Riley cares. But no, that is, there's like a very short list of people in the association who could talk that way around a perennial all-star. Pat Riley's on the list.
It's a thing. And yeah, Pat Riley's right. But this is also Jimmy Butler. So it's more likely trolling because.
I mean, he could trade him this summer to anywhere he wants.
He could trade him tomorrow.
Well, and he's up for an extension this offseason, too. So, yeah, not like great news for Butler.
He could trade him to... I mean, what is the least desirable spot in the NBA to be traded to right now? Charlotte?
Charlotte's definitely up there, yeah, and they're never good. Because the first one that came to mind was Kings, but the Kings are actually finally on an upswing.
Like, default to Sacramento, but they're actually a good team. If they got Jimmy Butler, they'd be...
Yeah, they'd actually be pretty good.
Yeah, and the other cold weather ones are all pretty good. I mean, the Cavs are good, Minnesota's good, Milwaukee's good.
The threat, Charlotte or Memphis?
Yeah, or send them to Seattle and say, you wait for the team.
It might be Memphis, because there's no real path for them moving forward. And if you send them to Butler, you send Butler to them, you might implode that team, plus they're in the West.
Yeah, it's short. It's those two. I mean, isn't that something? Like, Memphis went from like what Minnesota is now to this in 2 years. Is Ja hurt? Did he get hurt? Or was he suspended?
I think
again?
He got hurt.
Yeah, he was suspended at the beginning of the year, and then I believe he got hurt. So he just there's been no Ja Morant this year, essentially.
For 2 years, you really haven't seen him.
Yeah.
He basically hasn't played for a couple of seasons. All right, coming up next, a prominent voice in college football wants to crown your Buckeyes. You'll hear why coming up next. Bishman Friends, right here on The Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men in bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
After putting up with Dom to Barry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Question on social from a Browns fan in Maryland. Trying to buy tickets for my first time at the Horseshoe this fall. I know you're the authority. I don't know about that. Are your B sections okay seats? They look like they might be obstructed by overhang. It just depends on where you sit, brother. I can make an argument. Like, back when I had season tickets, I had some in B at one point, and they were, I thought, the best seats in the house because they were near the front and unobstructed and had shade and protection from rain. But also, like, if I were up two more rows, you're screwed.
And then so, as you get, if it's season tickets we're talking about, not just one game where, you know, the weather can kind of be pinpointed a little bit easier, like an idea of the weather, as you get further up into that B, because I've been higher up in B too, and you're right. It's not just the obstruction, though. It gets really cold up there because it doesn't matter if it's a sunny cave. November day or whatever. It's just, a cave is a good way to describe it. It feels like you're watching football in a cave. And then we've lamented this many times, but the amenities in B-Deck when you go out to the concourse area,
oh my God,
are not good.
Get some SPF 50 and get some C-Deck tickets, brother.
Yeah.
A lot of SPF 50.
Yet to be, it's funny. I do think that some of them are the very best. Some of them are because you have protection, you're out of the sun. But if it's a couple of rows here or there, and then it falls off a cliff. And I come back to this a lot when I think about that stadium and what Bjork's going to have to do, and I'm assuming it'll be him. Don't you get to the point where you just eliminate it and you just make it all suites all the way around or different type of seating? If they want to do like that festival seating where everybody just stands, now I don't know what you can because it's a physical structure. Like, what could you, because isn't that the B deck is the old top of the stadium?
Yeah, because it's two stadiums. They just built another stadium around it and created the C deck. That's why I've always liked the idea, that like party deck around C deck, and then you could possibly B deck, and then you could possibly connect that south end zone, because that's still a problem there. There's no way, if you are in the south end zone, that's where you're at. That's where you're watching the game. That's all you can do, because the sides of it are two player tunnels, both the away and the home. But if you go above that, then you might actually have something there. Plus, it would modernize it without having to like completely change anything about it. But that look halfway up the stadium, that kind of party deck, I think that would give it just a bigger facelift than people probably would expect.
We had that architect from Cincinnati who sent us those blueprints. You remember that, about what he would do that would connect C deck to B and kind of just make that all one place where you could hang. And that's something that, it's a tough, some of those seats in there are god awful. I mean, it's really, honestly, one time I just walked back in there just to see what it would be like. And I was like, I think I would be uneasy sitting here.
Almost claustrophobic.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it's just not it, man. Like you gotta do something better with that space. And I know you'd give up a lot of seats if you did it, but I don't know that people care about capacity anymore anyway, the way that they used to.
Yeah, are you trying to put 102,000 in that thing anymore?
I don't think it matters. I think you want 80,000 that are locked
80,000 comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's probably where you need to be going forward. I don't know that anyone cares about the size of a stadium anymore. It doesn't seem like it. Joe Klatt, certainly wherever the Buckeyes or whatever the shoe looks like, it feels like he's going to be the soundtrack for it going forward, as he has been in recent years. He was on his show, and he did crown the Buckeyes as his number one team in the country. He had a bunch of reasons for it. We're going to have some of this for you here. He starts with the defense.
But the offseason that Ohio State had and the roster that they're going to put on the field, to me, makes them number one. I'm going to start with Ohio State, not on the offensive side, but the defensive side. The defense for Ohio State is what makes them the number one team in the country, because they will be the best defense in the country. I think that Ohio State is going to have as good of a defense as we've seen in a long time, maybe all the way back to the 2021 Georgia team. This has draft picks littered all over it in the next two drafts. They all come back. They worked really hard to maintain this roster, and this defense is going to be an elite defense. It might not be a team that scores the amount of points that we're used to seeing a Buckeyes team score, but the defense is going to be incredible.
He continues to say that defense is going to allow the Ohio State offense some time to figure it out.
And when you've got a defense like that, it's going to allow some growing pains for a quarterback, whether it's Will Howard or somebody else in that offense. It's going to allow growing pains on the offensive line, which they kind of have to rebuild. It allows Chip Kelly to get their their feet settled as an offense, settle on a run game, and now all of a sudden you're going to look up in the middle of the year, you're going to be like, dang, this is going to be tough to beat this team because they don't give up any points.
Okay, so this comes to the next one that I want to play, and this is his theory that the run game, and you've heard the combination with the defense, is going to allow the quarterback some time to figure it out. Here's Cloud on that.
Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins. I know there's question marks on the offensive line. Chip Kelly has run the ball with question marks on the offensive line before, and he's done it with less talent than Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. These two guys are elite, elite. It means the quarterback does not have to be elite. So whether it's Will Howard or Devin Brown or one of the young guys, the quarterback's not going to have to go out there and be the centerpiece of this team or this offense. And that's an important part of trying to break in a quarterback, in particular in Columbus, where expectations can weigh heavy, in particular on the head coach and on the quarterback.
So that's the part that I think is that I want to dive into a little bit, because I saw this last week. Our old buddy Brad Crawford had the Buckeyes number one in the country now. Clatt has them number one in the country. They're a pretty good chance they're going to start the year number one in the country. Can you be the number one team in the country if you don't have a dude at quarterback? I asked that question because I don't know if we do or not. I don't know if Will Howard can be that. He's going to get the first chance. For sure. I feel very confident about that, that it's going to be Howard and then Brown trying to, you know, nip at his heels and maybe chase him down as the season goes along, which, by the way, would be the worst case scenario. And I would say that if it was inverted, if Brown won it and Howard was trying to chase him down. Like, I have no patience for any of that. And I don't know that they can either. They need somebody to be really good at that position. Yes, the defense is going to be elite. Yes, the run game is going to be crazy. Weapons all over the place at offense. But you need to have a quarterback who isn't just a game manager, is a threat to beat Georgia, to beat what I think Texas could be this year with Quinn Ewers, to beat Oregon. You're going to need it. And that is something that we did not get answered in spring. I get it. Yeah, Buckeyes number one makes sense. It's fine. I don't know that it changes anything from a pressure standpoint if you're number one or number two. It's going to be you and Georgia until you start to play other teams, and Georgia plays a bunch. Doesn't Georgia play? Yeah, Georgia plays Texas this year. So you're going to see a lot from the Dogs. They play, what, Clemson too?
Yeah, don't they play Clemson?
That Chick-fil-A
early
game, I think.
Yeah, out in the.
Yeah, their schedule is loaded.
I mean, whatever the Georgia Dome's called now.
You said Georgia, right? They did it back-to-back years without a dude at quarterback because they had every other position accounted for.
And if only every team could just beat Georgia. That's the hard part. It's like, it is possible, but I don't know how many more teams are going to be like those Georgia squads, but it is possible.
Well, now, but where was Stetson Bennett drafted?
Fifth round?
Is that what he was?
By the Rams?
Yeah. 128. Yeah, pick 128. Fourth round. So he's a pro. So he's a pro. Not a dude, but a pro.
But he wasn't a pro that first year. He wouldn't have been drafted in the fourth round after just the 1 year of it. So
no, for sure.
I think it is possible, but it is very difficult. But the things that Joel Klatt lays out there are true. The Ohio State quarterback, now I agree with you, Bo. They need to have the guy picked because those reps in those games that are Ohio State's not going to lose no matter who they start. They could start any of the five, and they're going to beat Marshall. I have no doubts. But they need to pick a starter so that that guy is getting the reps and getting the practice and getting down the offense and getting the chemistry with the receivers so that he is ready to go in a game where you have to throw it, because we talk about that all the time. The difference between a good team and a great team is a great team, when they have to throw it, can complete the pass. That's what Kyle McCord couldn't do up in Ann Arbor this past year, and that's what the Buckeyes need to accomplish their goals, no matter how good the defense is. When you have to throw, you have to be able to complete the pass.
I'm looking at this Georgia group. Man.
Who would have been the best receiver on the 20...
You ever heard of George Pickens?
22 team, that would have been the Pickens year. Was he 21, though?
21 was Pickens.
Right.
Yeah, so it was Pickens was there in 21.
22,
they also had
Bowers.
They had
Bowers
the Mitchell kid.
And Ladd McConkey's been around,
McConkey's
too.
McConkey's been there.
They had the Mitchell kid who then transferred to Texas in 2021 and 2022.
Adone Mitchell.
Yeah, Adone Mitchell was there. Yeah, that's where they, and guess who the quarterback was? The freshman on that team was Carson Beck. It's crazy the amount of defensive talent that was on that team. Nolan Smith, Keely Ringo, the defensive line was just absolutely stupefying. Who they had up front? It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, like half
Carter,
the Eagles' defense,
Jordan Davis
is Georgia players.
Nuts. Trayvon Walker, who's the number one pick in the draft, like They had all of those cats on that defense. The secondary was absolutely crazy. N'Kobe Dean, it was nuts. So yeah, that's probably, you know, what is kind of the requirement of this. I wouldn't mind if Georgia was number one either. I mean, I think that's fine. And they got Carson Beck back. They've recruited the way that they've recruited. It's going to be those two teams that have to separate. So, it's certainly fair. I just think that all eyes are going to just obviously going to be on quarterback. And the question is like, so here's what Bennett was. Was he a dude? No, but he was clutch.
Yes.
And he was a gamer. And so you don't have to be a dude to quarterback a national champion, but you've got to be clutch. You've got to be able to handle the big moments. And he did. When they needed a drive, God, he did it against us. When they needed a drive, he got him a drive. And that's something that either Howard or Brown is going to have to do. They're going to have to, in a big moment, produce a drive. And the good news for them is as you're going through this and you're comparing like the other teams that are going to be ranked high, other than Texas and Georgia, everybody else is kind of starting fresh at quarterback. I mean, Bo Nix is not at Oregon. Penix is not at Washington. Caleb Williams is not at USC. Alabama still is, obviously, they're bringing back Milroe. It's an entirely new operation there. So there isn't this behemoth out there with this quarterback who's ready to go. That's not there. So you're not going to have to beat those type of teams.
And I think that's the first step that is leading to, after this spring ball and the spring transfer portal closing, so rosters are settling in and you have an idea of what these actual teams are going to look like. That is one factor of why Ohio State is starting to move up these, because, well, which quarterback are you going to choose this year? There's a lot of question marks around that from those top teams. And then on top of that, I mean, I'd have to look into it to know for sure, but I would venture to guess Ohio State has, on the defensive side, they have to have the most returning production. And even on the offensive side, it looks pretty good for them from that standpoint. And I think that's why it's easy right now to slot them in at number one, now that you've seen the spring work out. And it's like, man, they held on to all of these top guys that we were looking at on the roster.
And yeah. I also think if you're looking at rosters offensively, defensively, and you're comparing them to others around the country, you're looking at the coaching roster and you're comparing it to others around the country. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't see a peer.
Not in money spent.
Well, no, so in that, but not. In resume, in football IQ,
Georgia's would be up there. Honestly, Lanning's got a pretty good staff at Oregon now. In the conference, yeah, I don't know. You feel like those guys at Alabama will get it figured out. They just haven't done it on this type of level yet. There's no question. This is a little bit of a down year in the sport. There was a while there, it was like four or five teams that you could say go win a national title. It does feel like in the first year of the 12-team playoff, this thing could be pretty wide open, which gets to what we're going to get into coming up next. Could you actually lose the Oregon game? Could there be a Big Ten team with two losses make the playoff? How many Big Ten teams could make the playoff the first time out? We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, fellas, listen up. Generally, we talk about medicine and effective treatments for erectile dysfunction and men's sexual health issues. Today, I want to talk about love, because love is the best reason to get treated for your ED. ED can cause major relationship issues. In fact, men often push their partners away when ED becomes a problem. The condition can cause depression, arguments, can lead to breakups, even contribute to divorce. But help is on the way. Go see my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Give them a call today. Tri-State Men's Health has treatments that work where the pills and herbals fail. They have treatments with success rates well over 90%. Do yourself a favor. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health here in town today. Your initial visit is $99. It includes medical consults, licensed medical provider, TNPSA test, and if you're medically advised, a test dose. Now, if the test dose doesn't work, then the office visit is going to be free. So it's a no-lose win-win for you. Give them a call. Get your sex life back on track. 800-900-9654 or visit tristatemenshealth.com for more on that. We were talking about this notion of how many teams are, look, this is going to be an experiment for everybody. Let's just say that this is going to be what is going to happen in December of next college football season. The sport has never thrown this much chaos into one spot. You've never attempted to play games that really matter at this time of year during a national signing day and during a transfer portal. So all of this stuff is happening at the same point. We have no point of reference of what this is going to look like other than to know, because we've been around the sport long enough, that it will be absolute and utter chaos. And if you talk to anybody in the sport, the first thing they would say is the calendar has to get fixed. You can't put all of this during this time. By the way, this used to be the downtime, kids. In the old days when there wasn't a December signing day, you'd actually go away for a little bit.
And then you'd come back for like 2 weeks of Thanksgiving. Bowl prep. Yeah.
You'd have Thanksgiving, then you'd go home after finals for a week and do 2 weeks of bowl prep and then play the game. That's gone. That is long gone now. So this is an entirely different thing going forward. We don't know how this committee is going to respond to the two power conferences.
We didn't know how the four-team committee was going to respond to anything either, but yes, I
think
I agree
we did
you.
Though, Chopper. I think we did. Eventually, I think by the end of it, we did. In the first year, we didn't. No question. We didn't. We didn't know how they were. We always thought we're going to have a poll mentality. And then in year one, we realized that they weren't. But for example, like, I believe we had that the two SEC teams were getting in and FSU was going to be left out.
We called
Florida
State.
We knew that. You knew that was coming.
That was going to be a, hey, great season.
Good season, boys.
Good job out of you guys. Yeah. But no. This is the club's off limits for you.
Yeah, over the years, they did enough to say, okay, yes, they think this way versus this way, this way versus this way. But you don't know what is going to be the situation every year. But you have to, once you get to the end, you're right. There was a little bit of an easier time being like, well, it's the committee. We know what they're going to do.
Okay, you got 12 teams. So you're going to have four autos, conference champs, right? You're going to have one group of five. So that gets you to five. So you're looking at seven spots. So let's just take this as it goes right now. So you have SEC Big 12, ACC Big 10. That's four. Those conference champions, one group of five. So you have seven spots making up the rest. What is our best guess on how many the Big Ten and SEC will receive of those seven? Would we go as far as to say they'll receive four of the seven? I think I would.
I was thinking it could be upwards of six.
Six?
Yeah, five is where I was going
to
go.
I don't think they want to do all seven. I don't think they want to show that. And there's got to be a team that loses a conference championship out of the ACC or the Big 12 that could be worthy, and they'll get slotted in, and there's enough reason to push them ahead. But I think, yeah, they'll push for five or six.
I think they would be right to.
Push for all seven.
There's no question they're pushing for all seven.
They've started doing that, but
they would be right to. Yeah. Because if you just look at any preseason top 25 and you see where the talent is in the country, you would push correctly for those teams to get in. And one of the biggest things that all of us are going to have to get used to, especially, and we told you about this years ago, is the SEC, our 9-3 is better than your 11-1. Like, that's coming. They're not going to say that directly to you. It's not going to affect you as Buckeye fans. You're going to be fine. It'll be the others that get affected by this. It'll be Big 12 teams. It'll be ACC teams that get affected by this. But we went through this a couple of weeks ago. When you just look at who Alabama is playing this year, who Georgia is playing this year, who Texas is playing this year, they're going to be allotted losses for sure. Their schedules are absolutely brutal. They played all the hits. So they're going to be allowed to be 10-2. 9-3, and they will get in over an 11-1 team out of the Big 12. I absolutely believe that that's going to be the case. That will be part of this dialogue going forward, is how do you judge these teams? The best, most deserving is going to be impossible, honestly, going forward. And Chops, I know you're a big, the games have to count. They do, but you're not playing the same sport.
Yeah.
If you're playing
in
the Big 12.
An undefeated team's going to make it no matter what, though.
Of course. We're safe there. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're not an undefeated team. Really, period.
In the power conferences, at least.
Yeah. Well, and I think even group of five.
Yeah, they would be the highest ranked then, mostly.
Yeah, so
they
would
have to be undefeated from a group of five because of all of that that we spoke of with the jockeying that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to do, plus other conferences are going to throw teams with one loss, that the SEC and the Big Ten are still going to be like, well, that, you know, that's not as good as, or we got a three loss team over here that had a way tougher schedule, that's got way better metrics and all these other things than that one loss team from whichever other Power Five.
I wonder what the clamoring too will be like when the highest ranked Group of Five champion is like a 10-3 Sunbelt team. That's a good team, but yeah, like how do you put them in? And then the other thing that's going to hold back the Big 12 and the ACC, look at the rankings at the end of last year, both AP, or you can look at the College Football Playoff, look at the preseason rankings we were just talking about. It's always Big Ten and SEC teams, especially with the teams that are joining the conferences this year. So I just don't see a situation where there's going to be very many ACC or Big 12 teams that can even sustain the loss in a conference title game and still be in the 12-team field, because you're not going to get a top five matchup in either of those conferences. You'll be lucky to get a top 10 matchup in any of those conferences. And if you're 8 and you lose that game and it's your second loss of the year, that's probably enough to push you out. And that's why the barrier to get two teams for a lot of those other conferences is going to be tough. And I don't see very many years where it's going to be both the second from the Big 12 and the second from the ACC. And I think most years they will push for one of those just to kind of, you know, keep it camouflage that this is a Big Ten SEC playoff, but that's what it's been built to be now with the what's his name down at the SEC, and then Sankey and Petitti running it.
Well, here's the deal. Like, currently in the way too early top 25s, there's no Group of Five team even sniffing it. It's majority Big Ten and SEC teams. However, the Big 12, if ever the year for the Big 12 to get two in, this might be it. Because Arizona's going to start the year. Yeah, Arizona's in the Big 12. Utah is going to be very good. Those two, like that pack, if I say this stuff out loud, the Pac 12, this 2-year run that they had, the year they had last year and the year that they would have had this year, they're littered. There's Pac 12 teams all over in these early, way too early top 25s. They're everywhere.
Bad man.
It's amazing that they blew that. But the breakdown is going to be absolutely fascinating going forward, and the numbers on that is going to be something that is going to lead to an even more chaotic December than I think anybody can even wrap their head around. Bill Bender's perspective on this coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to hit it on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversations with our great friend Bill Bender. Covers college football at the very, very highest level at the Sporting News. I got to tell you, before we get into the college football, now you're doing lax brackets, NCAA lax brackets. Did you grow up with this sport, or are you like me? Your kids are into it, and they're obsessed.
Oh, I'm like you. I mean, five years ago, if you would have told me what a X and a MIDI and an attack, I would have told you I don't have no clue. And now both kids are into it. And, Bo, I was out at my daughter's elementary school field day and had some of my lacrosse girls out there, and I'm doing the Hungry Hippo stage, and I was caught myself telling them, hey, you girls need to compete a little harder. Let's go. So it's been one of those days. They're a great group, though. And like you, I love the sport now.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was curious as we were watching the one more on this, because I know you were looking. Selection Sunday was this Sunday for the NCAA men and women's fields. It seemed to me that they need to expand the men's field. I'll speak on that because I didn't follow the women's game as close, but it feels like the men's field needs some more teams, like just one team out of the Ivy, just two teams out of the Big Ten. Where is that? And again, you and I are novices. We'll get into our expertise in a second, but did you kind of notice that similarly?
I think 24 would be a good number. And with you're seeing it around Central Ohio. Look, I mean, I'm on these fields every weekend. We'll be out there this weekend. And I went to 3 Ohio State games this year. There's more interest in it. The crowds are getting larger. The Ohio State Notre Dame crowd was amazing for a lacrosse game in college. It was great. So, yeah, though, I think continued growth, get that to 24, get more eyeballs on it. And as for this year, man, I don't know if anybody's beaten Notre Dame in that goaltender, Liam Entman. He's as good as there can be.
Yeah, they're pretty dominant, certainly, my friend. All right, speaking of brackets, we're going to have one in college football next year. What is your best guess on the breakdown that they will? And again, I understand this is entirely a guess, but you talk about 12 teams, you're talking about seven kind of at large after you do the four automatics and then the one group of five. What do you think is a realistic ask for the SEC and the Big Ten of the next seven?
I think they'll have seven total.
All of them.
Seven in the field, seven to eight in the field.
Oh, okay, so I got you.
Four Big Ten schools, three to four SEC schools, and then everybody else. So when you're getting two-thirds of the field, and they'll do that consistently. I mean, what do we do? Just play the Big Ten out real quick. You know, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, let's say they have a big year, and then Michigan. And then they survive a 10-9, 10-3, 10-2 schedule. All four of them are in. Yeah. And the SEC will do the same thing. So that's going to be the big question, how long they tolerate other teams being in the field.
Do you think that we were talking about this a second ago, the powers that be in the sport, and I realize they're not aligned because you have the college football playoff committee, and then you have the NCAA, which puts these rules out, and then you really have Sankey and Petitti, who are the power brokers in college football. Are they just kind of letting the bus just drive off the cliff with what they're going to do in December with a signing day, with a transfer portal, and now actually playing games? Why do you suppose they haven't tried to do something to make that more tenable for coaches?
I think you bring up a good point that maybe they are kind of letting it go off the rails so they can be the ones to go in and quote marks, save it, and you know, push for revenue sharing, push for a better, I don't know, the transfer portal is fine to me because you're just going to have kids that are going to have to live with their decisions. I know it's made roster management hard. I mean, one of the things that's really hit me is, I mean, Chip Kelly at the Ohio State spring game talking about how he wants to just coach.
Yeah.
Just coach. He's a great head coach, and he just wants to coach. He doesn't want to do the other things that major FBS coaches have to do now.
No, and I don't blame him for that, because you think about being Ryan Day in December of next year, and you're preparing for either a first-round or a second-round college football playoff while trying to re-recruit your roster, recruit guys in the portal, and sign your class. All of that stuff is happening at the same time next year in December, and it's going to be absolutely, absolutely nuts. How closely are you following all of this talk of moving towards a revenue-sharing model and this notion of the NCAA and their member institutions? There's $2.7 billion buyout of this lawsuit. How close are you following all of that?
I mean, close enough to know that it's coming, that we're probably going to either refine the NIL model or move towards some sort of the players have to have a say. You can't talk about unionizing and player representation and adding all these games without some sort of money to come with it. And you know what? How I feel about the whole enterprise, though, is kind of like how I felt when they legalized gambling in Ohio. Is like, it was almost more fun when you weren't allowed to do it, right? Like, you would hear the stories of like how they were getting players behind. But now that it's all out in the light, it's kind of like, just pay them.
I used to do a high school football show on the now defunct Ohio News Network, and I made a joke when we were doing the bracket unveiling of the high school football playoffs that if you're looking for a line, all of these, you can find them in Youngstown. And I did get a phone call from the area code that was, hey, maybe don't talk about this as much out loud. So you're right. I think there was a time where it was certainly a simpler time back then, my friend. As we get these spring games all now put to bed, and we're seeing the way too early top 25s and all of that stuff, and I know you'll have a ton of summer content at the Sporting News in terms of college football. What is kind of your overarching theme as we head into the unknown of a 12-team playoff as you look at college football on the field heading into next season?
I'm excited for the experiment, and I say experiment in terms of the 12-team playoff. Never seen it before. 18-team Big Ten where Oregon, Ohio State becomes a big game. Never seen that before. And just trying to approach it with an open mind. Yes, there's a part of me that the nostalgic factor and all that kind of stuff that I love about college football I worry about, but new day, this is how the game's going to be played, and I'm excited for more football in that regard. I am worried. I have concerns about that first round, but hopefully the games are good. And now playoff game on campus, I think that's the biggest allure for me.
Well, that's and the question, I think what everyone is going to be clamoring for, and theoretically, if the Buckeyes play the way that we expect, they won't be involved in that anyway. What everyone's going to clamor for is the idea of a Southern school going to play in like Happy Valley in December. Right. And then conversely, the fans who have wanted that for so long, the reality of do you really want to sit out in the elements in the north in December? Because it's one thing to talk about. It's another thing to actually put it into practice. It does feel to me, my friend, as I kind of take a look at it, that there is Ohio State, there is Georgia. I think Texas is probably close to that level. And then it's a lot of unknown. I mean, it does feel pretty wide open to me. I think no Saban's a big part of that though, right?
Yeah, I'm just starting in on my 1-134 coach rankings that we do every year. And this will be the first year since 2015 where Nick Saban won't be number one. And Urban was the last guy that was number one. So here's another part of that. When I first did this list in 2015, the top 10 coaches on this list, none of them coach now. Wild.
Wow.
Urban Meyer, Mark D'Antonio, Saban, Chris Peterson, Steve Spurrier, gone. So you just said it. Like, after Georgia and Ohio State, who I do think have definitively the best rosters and probably the two best coaches when I'm done with this list, it's really open. And that's another exciting part of this. So we'll see if Georgia and Ohio State had that great game a couple years ago, if they can play each other at the end of the road.
Yeah, you get these situations like Lanning at Oregon, like not going to Alabama. You have these guys ascending. It feels like Kiffin finally has a team on his hands. It's funny. We spend so much time talking about the drama around the sport in terms of the money and how it's all going to work out. But the reality is this sport's never been healthier in terms of the attention on it and the viewership. It's never been bigger. It's best in the NFL. They're the safest bets in sport, period.
This is the most entertaining, you know, the Big Ten is still entertaining. The NFL still got a leg up on everything by a lot. And I know we talk NFL a lot, but, you know, in terms of on-field viewership, one of the things too, I noticed when doing big boards for next year, the NIL is keeping kids in school, not just Ohio State. If you look at next year's big board, it's a lot of upperclassmen. And I think that will actually contribute to the health of the NFL too.
I think you're right. Yeah. And they love this. They have the best minor league system on the planet. It's as good as it's going to get, my friend. Just as it is every time we talk to you. Good luck on the Lax Fields this weekend. And we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
All right, that's our great friend Bill Bender, covers college football at the Sporting News. We'll be looking forward to his list of college football coaches. It's an interesting thing about how the 2015 list, none of those coaches are still coaching. So much movement in the sport. It used to be some of those guys are there a long time. Saban was kind of the last one that was kind of on that list. Dabo's the elder statesman now in the sport, and he's kind of disinterested in where the sport is going or participating in where the sport is currently. So it's going to be a fascinating list. Look forward to that for Bill once that list drops. We hit you with three things. Oh, before we do that, we do have, I forgot about this, we got a little giveaway for the kids out there. Chops, you're going to be, this is this weekend.
Adults can go too, by the way. It's not just for the
kids. Not just for the kids, yeah. Is the Fall Guy, what's the rating on this? Do we know? Is this a PG-13 operation?
I think it's PG-13. I will double check that right now, though.
All right, so the 821-9710, winner going to get two passes to see Fall Guy at the Grandview Theater Tap House. It is May 11th. It's at 1:30. Chops and J-Lo will be there after the movie. You can join them for a live recording of Chops TV. So you're going to live react to your viewing of The Fall Guy.
To that PG-13 movie, The Fall
PG-13. Guy. PG-13. There you go. All right, there you go. So let's go. Fifth caller at 821-9710 is going to scoop 97.1. 9710 is going to get that. I think I said that a couple of times. Three things on a Tuesday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things. Games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan. Ohio's sports destiny.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service, call 1-800-FURNACE.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese, what do we have on the poll?
Today's fan poll asks, the Blue Jackets are favored to get the fourth pick in tonight's draft lottery. Where do you think they'll end up picking? Higher than fourth, fourth, lower than fourth. Lower than fourth's getting 42% of respondents to the daily fan poll. Higher than fourth's getting 36th. Fourth is getting 21%.
Sounds like it's just following the percentages up.
Well, also just like classic Jackets fans, just like knowing it's not going to go even at what you're expected. They get no lottery luck ever. Last year they got a little just because they stayed at three, but like, oh my. Well, no, they didn't, because basically what happened was Anaheim just took Carlson.
Yeah, second. The luck was in the draft, not in the lottery.
It was the draft, not the lottery. Yeah, like they've never had lottery luck ever. So, yeah, be nice if tonight they got a little. They could use it, as we illustrated earlier with Edmonton. Like, the more times you can pick in the top four, the better, and it takes a lot of them. Took them, what, seven drafts? And one of them was McDavid.
And they still really haven't won. They're just good.
No, they're just good, but they haven't won anything yet. All right, time for three things.
Three things.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
All right, number one for me. So, my dad is flying in tomorrow for Bootsy's first communion. It's Mother's Day. It's going to be a lot. But anyway, he's flying in, and I get a notification on my United app that it's time to check in. And I'm thinking, well, he's not going to be able to do this, so I will check in for him. I bought it all through mine, because he didn't know what he's doing. He would call the airlines, what he would do. He'd like call 1-800-United and try and call, do it that way. He doesn't know how to use an app, nothing. So I'd book it. I screenshotting the thing, but as I'm going through picking seats, and I have a decent amount of status on United, the seats that they automatically assigned him are like 37C, right? So now, in order to like sit anywhere near the middle, it's $60 more. Now I paid $800 for the ticket to begin with, so that tells you where you're at on this stuff, how ridiculous this all is. So then I'm coming across this, like, do I make him stay in 37C or move him up to at least some extended leg room on the hall from Denver to here? I thought about it a lot. I decided to go good son route, and I got him up there closer for an extra $60. This is the airline industry, kids. That's where you're at.
And the irony of the whole thing is he'll probably still complain about where he was sitting when he gets
there. He's not going to be in a good mood.
Yeah.
No. He gets very nervous flying. He's worried about how far his gates are. Can he make connections? Even if it's like an hour and a half, he gets nervy.
I had an experience yesterday. So I went to the customer service at a place because I have the battery on my lawnmower isn't quite working, and it's still within the 3-year limited warranty, but I'm trying to figure out is this normal wear and tear or is this within the warranty? And the number is no help. The number just tells you have a warranty and then hangs up on you, and you're like, okay. So I go into the store and I go up to the customer service desk and I'm just explaining what's going on, and they were like, well, do you have your receipt? And I was like, actually, it was a gift, so I don't have that. And they kind of just like shrug and look at me. And it's fine that you need the receipt, but like, there's no service at a customer service. I think it's because they've been yelled at for so long that they don't actually train the people to, like, I'm like, okay, well, I'm in the store. Do you want to say, like, you could buy that, like, sell me on deuce? They don't, it's like my job to end the conversation at the customer service desk. What are we doing here? I don't understand the idea when you go and talk to those people anymore.
I'll just piggyback off of that, because last month AEP took my bill twice, which, how nice of them, right? Just double charge me for it. And I couldn't get anybody on the phone, but I did get their chat bot. And so as I was just chatting with an AI bot, like, if you can't answer this question, can I please talk with somebody? And then it ends the chat.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a big middle finger to you, AEP.
Did you hear about
that? No, it's outrageous.
There was a car dealership that tried to open up like sales through an AI bot, and people immediately started buying cars for like $5.
Oh, that's a win.
They just tricked the AI bot and then it went through.
Well, that's a win then, right there. Number two for me, I think we have to acknowledge what the UFL has done. I was looking at their ratings over the weekend. They were 1,000,001. For one of the games. The lowest rated game is like 795,000. Consistently between that and 1,000,001. Folks, that's double NHL playoff viewership. Double. Regular season, just UFL football in May, is doubling it. That's wild. That is a hit. Do not compare it to the NFL. Don't worry about college football. Their competition is the NHL, NBA playoffs, and to do those type of numbers, I haven't seen a second of it. But people are watching it, and those are big numbers for them.
In the first hour of the show today, we talked about the Tom Brady roast and how there were a lot of people that were there in L.A. and made it to New York last night for the Met Gala. And the reason I knew the Met Gala was yesterday because it's straight up J-Lo's Super Bowl. She is looking at all the outfits. She had it on her phone. She even once like the stream of the red carpet ended, she like went for other videos and it's just looking at everything. And I realized this, it probably took me asking 8 times before I knew that I should just assume it is the designer, because a lot of times it'd be a famous person I know and another person, and I'd always be like, well, who's that? And then she'd list off, she would know who the designer was, first of all. And then it was a very big deal that Zendaya went down the carpet twice, the second time with a hat on.
Oh, baby.
I can't. This is now going to become my second thing. I want to figure out a way, Elon Musk, to get rid of the Met Gala from my social media feed. How, like, I tried blocking it with phrases. I tried blocking it with words and people, but it just somehow, I got like Lizzo's costume was appearing. I got people that I've never even heard of. Like, look at this look from the Met Gala. I don't care. I don't care about so-and-so's look. I'm trying to watch the Guardians.
Number three for me, and this was, I had this before you were going this way. I don't get the Met Gala. I don't know what it is.
What's it even for?
I don't know who benefits from it. I know it's the Metropolitan Museum of Art, right?
They benefit from it. It's a fundraiser for the art.
Is it for the art, or is it the Metropolitan, like the opera house that Mrs. Russell built in the Gilded Age?
No,
like, I have no idea.
Yeah, the Met is a museum with art in it.
Okay, well, so I knew that, but there's all, like, she also built the Metropolitan, which was like the opera house. And there is still that, too. Isn't there the Metropolitan Opera in New York? I don't even know which one it is. But it's everywhere, and you can't get rid of it. And, like, people for being famous for just being famous show up there wearing nothing. I don't understand it.
I don't get it much either, but I have a slightly bigger understanding because J-Lo is that into it. Last one for me, we just gave away the tickets to the live taping of Chops TV coming up on Saturday, 1:30 p.m. of the Fall Guy at Grandview Theater. Anybody can go. Just go and buy tickets. The tickets are live on their website, so you can get them there. But I hope there's a lot of people out there, because I noticed this with the movie we saw Sunday. We were like one of 6, maybe 8 people, and I see a fair amount of movies in the theaters, definitely more than the average person. And over the last year, we've probably had 4 times where we've been single-digit amount of people in theaters. And I miss a little bit. You know, I don't want it to be overcrowded, but I miss a crowded theater where everybody's laughing together, everybody's scared together, or everybody's experiencing whatever emotion is on the screen. I want that back.
So in between pictures and video of famous people walking upstairs, watch the Guardians beat the Tigers 2-1 yesterday. Jose Ramirez hit a go-ahead home run in the 6th inning. That's his 87th go-ahead home run now, and it puts him at the top of the Guardians franchise leaderboard for go-ahead home runs hit. The spot was previously held by Larry Doby.
Whoa.
His last go-ahead home run was in September of 1958.
Sheesh, that's way back. Good note on that. Rothman and Ice coming up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only show where sports talk is eclipsed by food talk. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. The second round of the NHL playoffs are underway. Edmonton is the favorite to win the Stanley Cup at plus 420. Florida close behind at plus 460. Tonight, the Carolina Hurricanes are a minus 120 favorite over the Rangers, and the Stars are a minus 125 favorite on the money line against the Avalanche. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars, Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan. Sports.
Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. The Cleveland Cavaliers begin round two of the NBA playoffs tonight on the road in Boston, taking on the Celtics at 7. Jared Allen is a game-time decision. The Celtics will be without Kristaps Porzingis. Also in the NBA tonight, 9:30, the Oklahoma City Thunder host the Dallas Mavericks in game one of their series. The Cleveland Guardians have won three straight. They look to make it four in a row tonight at 6:10 against the Detroit Tigers. Logan Allen starts for Cleveland opposite Kenta Maeda. After an off day yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds begin a three-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks at 6:40. Frankie Montas returns from the IL to start for Cincy. Zach Gallen gets the ball for the Diamondbacks. NHL Draft Lottery tonight at 6:30. The Blue Jackets have the fourth best odds of getting the number one pick. This one's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. BMI has been voted best credit union 6 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game, you've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.